For the latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organisations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
As well as ACB Radio Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove, you can hear
live internet
on the ACB Radio Interactive.
ACB Radio Interactive,
playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s,
80s and 90s,
the hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least 6 time zones on 3 continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening adult contemporary,
and more. Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio Interactive. Hang out with other ACB Radio listeners. Talk with the hosts. Provide suggestions about the future of ACB Radio. It's all possible through the ACB Radio Friends List.
Thank you for being a friend.
Log on and sign up now. Send a blank message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. That's friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. And thank you for being a friend of ACB Radio.
The following is an ACB Radio Mainstream exclusive. Mark Hotel in Houston, Texas. ACB Radio Mainstream brings you coverage of the 41st Convention of the American Council of the Blind. Now, here's Jonathan Mosen.
Good morning and welcome to what is likely to be the final day of coverage from Houston for this 41st Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind, although there is a day in reserve just in case we are unable to complete business today. However, I guess everybody's doing their best to try and be on track, but it is a lot of broadcasting that you can expect to hear today live from Houston. As this convention really doesn't sort of peter out, it comes to a climax because we have the elections on today for the Board of Publications and the Board of Directors, and there are now contests on for both of those important bodies. There are more candidates than there are seats for the Board of Publications and the Board of Directors, so we will have an election on our hands, and you'll be able to hear it taking place in all its drama live here on ACB Radio Mainstream today. There's also lots of business to be completed. Resolutions from the Resolutions Committee that really are the legacy of the convention. People will look back in years to come and judge what people were thinking about and feeling by the resolutions that are passed at the convention, and so they will be debated in large number today. Also, there's a final constitution and bylaws issue to be dealt with, and there's the report from the executive director Charlie Crawford, and that will be happening sometime during the morning as well. In fact, I think that may begin at the beginning of the session this morning at about 8:30. Just looking to see if we can find out who the entertainment is, but I don't seem to be able to get that information quite quickly enough, so we'll come back to that a little bit later. What the program is for today is that at 8:30 we begin, and we'll continue till midday with a break for 15 minutes somewhere in the middle there. We'll take a 90-minute break for lunch, so we'll go off the air at that point. And then at 1:30, we'll be back with more business. That's due to conclude at the latest at about 4:15, because the room has to be reconfigured for the banquet, which is taking place this evening. We will be giving you live coverage of the banquet as well. Obviously, we won't be broadcasting everybody munching away on what promises to be delicious fare, but we will come back for the banquet entertainment and awards. The entertainment consists of an address by Andy Potok, who was on Blindline a while ago, and many people responded very favourably to that. He's written a couple of books, including his latest one, which is looking at a range of disability perspectives. And we'll also hear something from Friends in Art called The Weakest Blink. And I did get a little bit of a sneak as to what sneak previews to what might be going on there last night. At least a couple of people involved that I know will be very entertaining. So The Weakest Blink is on tonight. Also another chance to present some awards to honour people who have made a contribution to the blind community. So we don't know exactly when that banquet entertainment will begin and the formalities will begin. So you just have to hang around. I guess it will be sometime after 8 Central, maybe a bit later than that. So that's 9 Eastern tonight, 6 Pacific. And, of course, 1 hour is universal time, so it will be around about 12 hours from now at the earliest that we'll begin the banquet entertainment. Last night we had the candidates forum that was well attended, and it gave people a chance to have a final look at the candidates before voting, although a couple of affiliates have caucused this morning and heard from the candidates. We'll patch you through to the entertainment now, which is taking place, and come back a little bit before 8:30. Just a reminder that you can contact us during the convention proceedings. You can add us to your MSN contact list or just email us. The address is convention@acbradio.org. That's convention@acbradio.org. Actually tell you who the entertainment is this morning, because according to the program it's to be announced, so we will find out for you though, because the pianist is doing a very nice job. The invocation this morning at 8:30 will come from Drew Marshall, assistant pastor, New Face Baptist Church here in Houston, Texas. We'll have the talking sign giveaway at about 8:35, and there'll be ACB business, which is to say includes the report from the executive director Charles H. Crawford. And at 9:15, we're due to begin the ACB election process for the Board of Directors and the Board of Publications.
I'm at 9 now. This is 9? This will be 10. This will be 10. This is 10. This is 10. This is 10. Okay. This is number 10. This is number 10. Okay. How's that?
It is number 10. I was just trying to take some of the brightness off.
Yeah, but when you take the brightness off, you lower the volume some. This will be number 8. This is number 8. Now, this is the one that we have to change the EQ on a little bit, and I know where that is. Okay? This is 7. This is 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. This is 5. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Hello, hello. This is This is six. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. Hello?
There you go. All happening behind the scenes here. We're just making sure that some microphone issues are resolved before we get into the convention, because it's really important that we make sure that all of the microphones are working, particularly today, because there's going to be so much debate taking place with the resolutions and the elections, of course. The election process is, I guess you could say it's a lengthy one, but it's also a thorough one and a democratic one. Candidates will have a chance to nominate people who will speak on their behalf when they are seeking office. There's an allocated amount of time, and it's up to the candidates whether they use one or two speakers. Generally, candidates seem to use two speakers to extol the virtues of themselves. There will be a standing vote where individual members present at ACB will have an opportunity to vote for the candidates that they wish. And then there is the roll call where the affiliates will vote. Those numbers are then tabulated and the election result is announced. So it is a process that takes some time, but it's a process that obviously achieves a very transparent result, leaving everybody confident that the process has been open and transparent and reflective of the, or inclusive of the fact that the organisation is made up of individuals but also of affiliated organisations, and it strikes that balance. So all those elections will begin probably at around about 9:15 according to the programme today. I can also tell you that one thing that isn't in the programme that we will be doing today is playing you some public service announcements. These are actually put together by Steve Bauer of Wichita, Kansas, who is an ACB Radio Interactive person. He does some great shows on the air. Many of you will have heard them, including the Smooth Jazz Show and Country Legends, among others. And he did the very popular Red, White and Blue special yesterday on the 4th of July. And the PR seminar asked me to do a presentation on the use of public service announcements. The Public Relations Committee met last week and is encouraging affiliates to be thinking in a public relations way, getting the message out there. And the media coverage for this convention has been absolutely tremendous. CNN's been covering it. There have been full articles here in Houston newspapers and local television channels. There really has been a lot of recognition of ACB. And the I believe it was the Associated Press carried on its national wire the important story of the American Council of the Blind suing to make the US currency more accessible. So it's been an unqualified success in terms of getting the word out that ACB is here speaking for blind people. So the PR seminar sent me the scripts for the ads and asked could we do a sample of what the public service announcements would sound like. That was just when I was looking to head on a plane to get to Houston, and I contacted Steve Bauer with the scripts and said what could he do with them. Steve claims that he just quickly kind of bashed something out, and I played them, the three public service announcements to the public relations seminar last Saturday, and people were very impressed. I think he will be too. Steve has done a fantastic job with voicing them. And so President Gray has asked that the whole convention hear them. So you'll be hearing Steve Bauer's lovely mellow tones as he brings us a sample of how three public service announcements written by the Public Relations Committee and produced by Steve Bauer of ACB Radio Interactive Sound. And that will be coming up fairly early on in the program this morning. It's now 23 minutes past 8 Central Time in the morning of Friday, the 5th of July. You're listening to what promises to be the last day of coverage from the 41st Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind. We're broadcasting from the spacious Adams Mark Hotel here in Houston, Texas. 10 stories, approximately 80,000 square feet, 60 to 80,000 square feet, I was told by an official the other day. And you can probably tell that the kind of atmosphere in here right now is the same kind of atmosphere that we had on Sunday evening for the first session. That's because today is a really critical day. People wander in and out, I guess, apart from the real dedicated devotees who are here for the whole thing, based on who's speaking and any matters that they know are coming up that they're interested in. But today, everybody who is really in the slightest bit interested in the future of the organization and who's present in Houston is here because it's election day today. Who will be the people entrusted with setting the future direction between conventions of this organization? And of course, convention is the supreme governing authority of the American Council of the Blind, and there is no more responsible and important a task than to appoint, elect people who will set that future direction. I think conventioners take it seriously. That was certainly exemplified by the turnout last night for the candidates forum, and people are here to cast their votes. There's a really great atmosphere. You can sort of feel the anticipation in the air right now with about 5 minutes before the general session begins, and we'll pat you through back to the entertainment now. It's so noisy in here I can actually not really hear where I'm going to do that though. Alright, let's do that now. I'll take you back to the entertainment here at Convention 2002.
Is Carla Rushfall in the room? If so, please come to the podium.
Thank you. Charlie Crawford, if you're in the room, please come to the podium. Thank you. Charlie, if you're in the room, please come to the podium.
Listening to live coverage of the 42nd annual, I'm thinking about next year in Pittsburgh already, the 41st annual convention of the American Council of the Blind. There will be a lot of live coverage today as we conclude a lot of business and hopefully actually complete the general sessions. That is the aim. So that we can celebrate with the banquet tonight, which we will also be broadcasting live. Some fantastic entertainment planned. You won't want to miss that. It's going to be just fantastic fun. And we'll be covering that at around about, maybe between 8 and 8.30 Central, around about 12 hours from now, but we can't be precise about the timing because it depends on how quickly people get through the food and how quickly we're ready to begin the entertainment. As you can probably hear from the background noise, a massive attendance this morning as we get ready to conduct the elections here at ACB. There are some things happening tomorrow. The Board of Publications is having another meeting. There's a diabetes seminar taking place tomorrow, as well as a legislative seminar where those particularly interested in the federal government advocacy will be able to take a look at some of the issues that are occupying the attention of people such as Melanie Brunson, the Director of Advocacy for the American Council of the Blind. As you heard, there's issues with ID reauthorization, electoral reform is on everybody's minds, and many other issues that will be discussed. It's now 26 minutes to 9. The entertainment is now back, and so we'll patch you back through to that. I anticipate that it won't be too long before we begin. We will have some original initial business. There'll be an invocation. We'll play those ACB public service announcements, I believe, pretty soon. And, of course, the election is scheduled to begin at approximately 9:15 this morning.
Charlie Crawford, if you're in the room, please come to the podium. Charlie Crawford. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let's have a big ACB applause of appreciation for Nancy Pendergraf and Roland Bowers, our entertainers. We'll get to some door prizes. Let's have order, please. Let's have order.
I don't know what you need this right now. A box and a room key.
I do. Thank you. As our first order of business this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you for the morning invocation, the Reverend Drew Marshall, Assistant Pastor of the New Face Baptist Church of Houston, Texas.
I guess that I would simply ask that you would bow your heads with us. Gracious, eternal Creator, God of all life, Lord, we come now into your presence on this day, first of all, to give thanks to you for allowing this day to be, and then for allowing this great convention, O God, to convene in the city of Houston. Then, Lord, we thank you for each delegate that is here today, for the support and volunteer workers who are sharing as well. And then, Heavenly Father, we pray for your presence to be with us this morning. Bring us back to center, O God, that we might continue to know that you are God, and that it is because of you we have life, and it is because of you, Heavenly Father, that we are still able to enjoy each day that you send into our midst. We come now, God, and we pray so much power upon this meeting. We need you, Heavenly Father, to be our eternal guide, our eternal keeper, and our eternal friend. Lord, keep each heart, keep each person. Keep, O God, your hand upon this gathering, and then, Lord, we know that all things will be well. God, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for all that shall happen, O God, because of your being with us and in us and over us. We ask it in your blessed and holy name. We pray and give thanks. Amen.
Okay, thank you very much. We now have the next drawing, the fifth drawing of the talking signs. Ed Bradley, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
We have from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Elizabeth Passanati.
Oh, they're saying she's
Elizabeth,
gone.
Are you here? Okay. From Perrysburg, Ohio, Ronald Freeses, almost Fries, F-R-I-E-S-S.
Ron Freeze from Ohio.
Freeze.
He is here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have, you note in your program, it says this is the sixth giveaway. Actually, this is the fifth, since I forgot to do it Sunday night. We will do the sixth giveaway when we come back into session after lunch. So there's your incentive to get back. You folks want to do one or two more door prizes? Okay, why not?
Yes. Mr. President? Mr. President?
Yes, Cynthia.
I have a couple of announcements.
Okay. Door prize people, get your drawing ready while Cynthia makes her announcements, please.
AAVL had a drawing, and the winner of the old-time radio tape is Mary Hildebrand. The winner of the Afghan is Flora Beck. And the winner of the Las Vegas weekend, Carl Foley.
Well, congratulations to you all.
Also, tonight at the banquet, just want to remind you that the people at the door will have the table number that you assigned, that you signed up for. The tables are going to go 10 across and 6 deep. So as you're facing the podium where the president is, 1 is on the far left, to 10 on the far right, and then 11 back, and so forth. So that's how the tables are. That's how the tables are numbered. Remember, you're going home. Do not turn in your name badge until the next thing is going to happen. You're going home, or you choose not to vote any further. There has been some confusion this week because of the tightness of this ballroom with regard to seating. We always leave the first row empty for dignitaries, scholarship, photographers, newspaper people. So you always sit behind your sign. But see, we're going to now confuse you, because next year in Pittsburgh, we're going to try something new. The ballroom next year is big enough so that everybody can be seated classroom style. So you'll all have a table in front of you next year. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Another announcement. We like to pride ourselves in ACB as an organization of inclusion. And just to prove that, I'd like to tell you who won the ACB quilt this year. It was won by Gordon Dingle of Ontario, Canada. You lucky Canadians. Okay, Ed, are you ready with a couple more door prizes?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
For $25 cash prize from ACB of Minnesota. And
coffee mug with, soup mug with 2 cans of soup.
And a soup mug with 2 cans of soup is Rex Ransom from California.
Rex, are you here?
All right, I got him. You got
these. He is here. Okay, how about another?
Let's go to Rex.
Okay.
Handmade stoneware casserole from Manitou Springs, Colorado.
Okay, that's it. Read it off.
Okay.
Do you have another door prize?
Yes.
Okay.
From Morganton, North Carolina. I think it's one of the scholarship winners, Derek Lane. Derek, are you here? We have handmade stoneware casserole. And is this $25? Okay. Okay. This one's not there. From Louisville, Kentucky, Fred Gasoni.
Yep.
Okay, he's not
here.
They're
saying he's gone.
He's not here?
Yeah.
Oh, they're not here. From Baldwin, New York, Michael Godoni.
Mike Godino. And he
Godino?
Is here.
Okay.
On this stoneware, you have to pick it up in the office. We have a card for you.
That goes to
okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if I can, if we can move on now.
Mr. President?
Who calls for the floor?
My microphone isn't on.
Carla Rushville from Kentucky.
Okay, Carla, okay. I'll wait for you. There you go.
I have one announcement concerning reservations for next year for Pittsburgh.
Yes.
I understand that someone tried to make a reservation and the system didn't exactly work as planned yesterday. I want you to know that we will be addressing that right away. Obviously, we want everyone here to make their reservations for Pittsburgh and be there. And so if you will just give us a couple of weeks to get that in place, we would very much appreciate it. If you would hold off until about the 1st of August, we are sure that we will be able to iron out most of the bugs in the system. So thank you very much. And let us know if there are any additional problems after that time.
Thanks very much. Carla, I don't know if you would know this, or probably I should really ask Cynthia, but at some point this morning I'd like to announce when the Life members reception is this afternoon. I can't find it in the program, and it's in 1068, so I do need to know. Okay.
Chris, I do think that 5 o'clock is correct.
I'm told it's 5 p.m., so Life members, 1068, 5 p.m. Love to see you there. Okay. It is now my great pleasure to bring to the podium a person with whom I've come to work very well in the last year, a person who puts ACB first more often than I can tell you. To give his report, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you the Executive Director of the American Council of the Blind, Charlie Crawford.
Yes. This is a hot mic, I'll tell you.
It is?
Yes.
Good morning, one and all. Howdy. Well, speaking of that, those of you that love country music, and I'm a country music lover. We ain't heard enough of it this week. But when she said life member, I said lifer. That sounds like a country song. Anyway, I like to introduce my presentation this morning by giving you three snapshots to keep in your mind as we go through the grueling report of the executive director. The first is, it was about 8 p.m. on a Wednesday night. I was in a taxi on a cell phone calling the national office 2 weeks before the convention to reach Terry Pacheco because I suddenly remembered something we hadn't done. And she answered the phone and I said, Terry, and she said, I can't deal with it right now. Seems that her computer had apparently just died and she was worried that everything on it was gone. The second snapshot has to do with last night. As I sat there in the audience listening to the candidates forum, I noticed that almost everybody had a hoarse voice. And then I noticed how tired they were. And I thought to myself, why would anyone put themselves through this level of grueling work to become a member of the BOP or the Board of Directors? And in part, the answer to that really does form the foundation for the report of the national office. And the third picture I'd like for you to remember is, I have never heard so many can I help yous, so many excuse me's, so many I'm sorry for being in your way, let me move this way or that way, as I have heard this week in our convention. And that's something to be very proud of. How often have we been informed by whoever that the blind have an entitlement attitude and that we expect everything right now, and if you're in my way, it's because I'm blind and you're discriminating against me? This week proved to me and proves to all of us that this organization is filled with people who care enough about others to say, can I help you? I'm sorry. Excuse me. That's a real tribute to all of us. The National Office of the American Council of the Blind is really just one part of a very growing and large organization aimed towards the future of benefiting blind people in this country. When I first started working with Chris last summer, one of the first things we talked about was the need to reinvigorate and to expand our committees so that the people of ACB who care enough to get on a committee, focus in on a particular set of work challenges, and to move those through to fruition and success, that those people need to be honored and those people need to be supported. And it's a partnership between the national office with them to get the business of ACB done. And I'm proud to say that the committee structure in ACB is really pumping out the work, and we're working on all eight cylinders. I need to say that in partnership with the Information Access Committee, not only have we visited with Microsoft and made some real progress, I think, in reconvening the understandings between the two organizations and crystallizing the work that needs to get done so that blind people have access to the computing environment, but also that committee has considered issues that might have been considered somewhat esoteric. But any of you who have ever had to go onto a government website to get a piece of documentation and end up getting a PDF file and know what the problem is because you can't access it, know that the work of the Environmental Access Committee, Information Access, is critical to how well you can perform your role in interfacing with the federal government. And that's the kind of work that only a committee of dedicated people such as our Information Access Committee can get done, and I'm proud that we were able to support them through the efforts of the national office. There are more committees. The Environmental Access Committee. While we sadly had to allow Julie Carroll, with all of us kicking and screaming, to resign her position because she had so much other work to do, and I'm proud to say that Julie remained on the committee as a member, we as an organization can be proud of the Environmental Access Committee and all the work that it has been able to do for us, especially in the nuts and bolts areas such as the ANSI standards that really do address the built environment around us. And because of work like Julie and because of work like Pat Beatty and because of work of Krista Merritt from the National Office, we have been able to, and Melanie Brunson, we have been able to influence those codes so that when architects go to build buildings, we don't have to yell at them after the fact. We can celebrate with them before the fact that that building will be more accessible to us as blind people. Thank you, Environmental Access. The National Office truly is a partnership with our members and with our committees and with people outside the organization to get the resolutions and the business of ACB done. My dog just leave? Shit, I've heard all this before. I'm not going to listen. Where are the milk bones? That's what I want. Ruth, if you don't mind coming over here, it'd be nice. You can hold her if you want. Thank you. Dog always steals the show. What can I say? But we have, as ACB is wont to do, looked at problems from the perspective of two critical things. And they really boil down to pretty spiritual concepts that I have always loved to talk about. One is doing unto others as we would have done unto ourselves. If we want us, our issues, to be considered by others, then we really do need to consider their issues because we're partners in the equation. It's not a question of one being better than the other. It's a matter of both of us needing to live in the same place. And the second issue is similar to that, and that is the notion of judging not, lest you be judged yourself. It's so easy to jump to conclusions. It's so easy to blame people. It's so easy to find an excuse for something not getting done because somebody else has acted in bad faith. But the reality is that people normally don't act in bad faith. As we learned with the descriptive video victory, there are many people in the FCC, for example, who had a number of things on their plate to consider when they heard our petition for help. And through it all, because we were able to articulate the fairness and the rightness and the justness of blind people having access to television in the same way that other people have access to it, No amount of objections from others, when considered from the perspective of fairness, could rise to the level of saying no. And that's why the FCC joined with us and our partners in proclaiming that blind people should have and do have the right to access to entertainment. We won that victory this year. We will win again in September in the courts, and every blind person will have access to that information. Not only have we won in terms of the 4 hours per week or 50 hours per quarter, but the fundamental change in the attitude of the FCC and the entertainment industry towards blind people will serve us well as we begin to ask for expansion of that access to entertainment and to information. And I believe the issues that have been raised against us in the past, such as the emergency information issue, will evaporate as the industry becomes more accustomed to serving blind people, as the FCC becomes more responsive to our needs, and as every blind person in this country turns on the TV with the same expectation of either good shows or lousy shows that everybody else has. Fundamental change is what ACB is about. The partnership between ACB and an attorney in Washington, D.C., and yes, even the federal government in terms of the National Science Foundation, all conspired, in a positive way, I say, to bringing out the issue of why is it that blind people can't simply get change from a cash register and know what it is. It's not really a question of the physical way that we ultimately alter the state of money to make it more accessible. It's really about our participation in the society so that when we do participate in terms of accessible money, in terms of accessible television, we no longer see ourselves as somebody who has to wait or somebody who has to ask questions or somebody who has to rely upon somebody else to simply do what everybody else does. And more importantly, and the most beautiful thing about accessibility, it's not just about giving us what we need, it's empowering us to give them what they need. So that court battle has been joined, and what we seek in that battle is pretty simple. We want access to the information that is contained on the money so we know what it is. And we don't really care how we get it. We do care that we do get it. And people have options now. There are lots who say out there, well, they don't know what they want. Of course we know what we want. We want access to the money. Then the next issue is, well, how do we do it? Well, that's why we're asking you to work on it, Treasury Department, because guess what? That's your business. That's what you do for a living. Figure out how to make money available to America. And we will work with them as partners, not as enemies. We will work together to find ways of doing this that make it good for ACB, good for blind people, good for the vendors, good for the people who worry about cash machines, in effect, good for America, which translates into being good for all of us. We will win, and everybody else will win along with us. Fundamental change in the attitudes of America towards blind people is the bottom line expectation of ACB and of all legitimate blind organizations. Fundamental change really means that people begin to see us in a different way, invite us into their lives in a different way, and give us the opportunity to improve their lives as well as ours, simply because we formed a trusting relationship of equals, not a relationship of masters and slaves. So we, in the national office, are charged with the important duty of trying to administer and carry out the will of ACB in cooperation with the members individually and through affiliates and with the committees to arrive at the successful completion of our resolutions, our goals, our values, and our dreams. On Sunday night, I said ACB is in the business of turning dreams into reality. We have done that with DVS. We are going to do that with cash. In terms of access to cash. As we work the fundamental changes, how do we measure that we've been successful? The best measure of success for any organization is when people start coming to you for advice and assistance with the issues they have, because they believe that you have credibility, they believe that you have the strength of conviction to move forward, and they believe that you've been successful enough in the past to predict success in the future. Let me tell you about Visudyne, a law firm in Washington, D.C., the second most prestigious one in the nation's capital, came to us about the Visudyne issue and said to us, and I will quote, "You know, I never really believed that blindness organizations were very effective on the issues of Medicare until I read about you guys." Now that is something that comes from a senior partner in the second most prestigious law firm in Washington, D.C. I call that success. And as we move forward in partnership with that law firm, what will happen is a landmark change in the way the American government determines how it provides Medicare benefits across the board to all people who receive benefits from that program. Because the nature of the complaint that we have filed with the... Oh, we haven't filed it yet. Sorry. Wait a couple of weeks for news notes. That is likely we will file with the court. Essentially deals with the way that Medicare decides if they're going to cover something and if they're not. No longer can we have a small room of bureaucrats deciding health care policy for the United States. No longer can it be a function of numbers that if there are 10 million people who will be affected, then we'll do it. If there are only 100,000 people, well, too bad. No longer will we allow any individual person's health to be held captive to a strategy that only considers dollars instead of people. And the American Council of the Blind has taken this strategy not just for blind people. Remember that our organization from our beginning celebrates the fact that we are part of a nation, we are part of a community, and all we're asking is an opportunity to give back to the community what we have so richly received from it. And we will do that with Visudyne. As is the case in any kind of effort, there's the exciting stuff, the stuff I talked about. Then there's the more boring stuff, like what are they doing at the national office? I can tell you that first snapshot was about a person who had spent night after night, day after day, working on the convention with Carla and with Cynthia and with others, and with Crystal. And she really did pour so much energy into it. And I'd sometimes say, well, you know, you ought to go home once in a while. And she'd say, I'll get there. I'll do it. Don't worry. And what I heard in her voice was more important than all the work that she had done. What I heard in her voice was a plaintive, I really don't know if I can get past this one. I've dealt with so much, and now I don't know if I can get past this. There must be a God, because the computer rebooted and everything came up. But you know, it really affected me when I talked to her, because I saw in her every ACB member. And every time that each one of us is presented with a situation that we just quite don't know how to handle, and every time each of us says to ourselves, I don't know if I can make it this time. This is really hard. And then our friends in ACB, or a message from Chris or somebody in the leadership, says to us, you're not alone in your effort. You'll get there, and we'll be there with you. And that is the nature of ACB. And that's why she could reboot that computer. And I believe God said that and said, okay, you got the information. And the candidates last night. Think about them for a moment. How much of their lives are they pouring into ACB? How much of their souls are they exposing to all of us? How much are they asking, with all the vulnerabilities of knowing they might lose, for just the opportunity to work on our board of directors or our BOP? I am really profoundly impressed and humbled by the fact that there are people in this organization, win or lose, who would take that kind of stance and do that for us. Thank you. We have many people to thank. Many people outside of ACB as well. The National Organization on Disability for convening a meeting between ACB and the Homeland Security Agency and the President's Domestic Council to develop evacuation plans for people with disabilities so that when disaster strikes, and we hope it doesn't, but if it does, that there'll be a way to make sure that disabled people at least have an equal shot at getting out safely. And we saw on the floor of ACB's convention not just 2 days ago a system of technology that tells us exactly where we need to go and reduces the time of us getting there by at least 50%. That's progress, guys. We have members of Congress calling us about issues that affect blind people and wanting to know our opinion. We even have the commissioner of RSA who called me one day and said, I need to check out with you whether you guys would be offended by this. Now, somebody must respect us somewhere to call us up and ask us that. And that respect's not out of fear, folks. That respect is out of the fact that we are a determined organization to uphold the value of blindness and blind people, no matter what the consequences. We're doing the right job. All of that is to say that the national office is in constant contact with people outside the organization to form partnerships, to build strategies, and to ultimately work with the necessary people to make sure that our issues are solved and that we move forward. And we've done tremendous work this year, not just the national office, but ACB as a whole. None of us can survive without any of us, all of us working with us. However, whatever. That's how you get tongue-tied in this organization. Yes. Now I know how those candidates feel. But inside the organization, there are partnerships as well. And it's important that the national office communicate and make sure we communicate again and again with all the members of ACB, whether they be on the Internet or whether they be readers of the Braille Forum or whether they be folks who just call us up on the phone. The Braille Forum, I think, is the finest magazine in this country for blind people. I am extremely proud of the work that Penny and Sharon pour into that publication every day. And of the support and assistance they get from the Board of Publications and of all the people that write articles for the ACB Braille Forum. You guys make it work. You're the ones that put in that information, and we all celebrate what you have to say. So we thank you. The work of advocacy is never done. Melanie Brunson and Krista and Barbara, they're in there plugging away every day. Look at the legislative agenda for ACB this year. Have you ever seen so many bills out there on so many diverse subjects, whether it's broadband, digital divide, election reform, Medicaid reform? It's all in there, and we're a part of it. And most of those pieces of legislation that we're supporting will pass. And they will pass not just because of ACB, but because ACB knows enough that we can't do it alone. And we get the right people with the white hats on to go charging in there and make sure the truth is told and the bills are passed. Thank you to our advocacy people. For Terry and her new assistant, Crystal, a big thanks, even though Terry's not here today because of the need for her to go back to Massachusetts, unfortunately, with the death of Frank's dad. We want to first say a prayer for Frank's dad, and we also want to say thank you to Terry and to Crystal for all the hard work that they've done on our behalf in this convention. We've lost people this year. We lost Ann Fesch. She passed away, and it was a big hole in the national office and in this organization because Ann did so many things we never realized she did until somebody said, where's that? Oh, yeah, where is it? And then we figured out Ann must have done it, and we had to go digging through Dan's 50 million volumes of notes to find what it was that we needed to find. Ann Fesch was a wonderful person, a great contributor to ACB. We miss her, and we love her, and we know that the work that she did on the national office on behalf of all blind people will never be forgotten. It will always be a remembrance of how good it is to work for an organization such as this. We also lost Cynthia Lovering, fortunately, on a better note. She got a better job, although I can't imagine any better job than working at the national office. But I guess she did. This thing called money, you know. But I was real happy and fortunate to get Patricia to come work for me and stole her away from Terry right at the time that Terry needed her the most. And Patricia's done a wonderful job with me, and I really do appreciate her work at the national office as well. And then, of course, we have a new member on the staff, Dalen Scott, who is our office manager. And she's taken over the responsibilities for the electronic equipment, the computers, for the telephone system, for processing bills and information for mail, and for a number of other things at the ACB National Office. I can tell you that while Dalen obviously had a lot to learn when she first came in, we are already in good shape in terms of our internet. Connectivity is twice as fast at half the cost as when she came in. For those of you that use the telephone system at ACB's national office, you probably shared the heartburn and heartache of trying to deal with our phone system. We almost asked for therapy sessions, but the good news is that we finally connected up with the people who actually manufactured the phone system and the software and the computer, and they have assured us that putting in the appropriate commitment in that equipment in that system and then upgrading the software, and that's being done today, will fix the problems we had with the system so that by Monday, this coming Monday, not 2 years from now, you'll be able to call on the national office and things should work. And we appreciate that. Contained on that telephone system is the Washington connection, and I know that there have been some issues with that, and of course there are two challenges. One is keeping everything updated, and the other thing is having the equipment you can actually use to put the information on it so that people can call and actually hear it. I'm proud to say that we are reconfiguring the way that we're going to be doing the Washington connection and the information system, and with the help of Penny Reader, I think we're going to have a real great information center this coming year that you'll be able to reach by the phone and not only deal with the Washington connection, but also news notes from the national office and the number of other information pieces that will be of help to people in ACB and assistance to our affiliates. So you've seen it this week. You heard the connection. What is it called? Convention Ear. It's a great system, and we'll be taking advantage of that power not just once a year at the convention, but every day in ACB through the national office. So look forward to a great deal of new information and up-to-date information that you'll get instantaneously when you dial into the national office. So thank you to Penny for all the help that you've been in terms of putting that stuff together, and to all the people in the press room here at the convention. It's a real great job that they've done, and I love reading the paper. Of course, you all know the feeling, right? You get up in the morning, you're staying at some hotel, you walk out and you step out the door and there's this big plump of paper. And it's the local newspaper, and you say to yourself, well, what am I going to do with this? Maybe I could use it for potty training for the dog or something. But you step out the door here, or you don't even have to step out the door. You step in front of the door and all of a sudden there's Braille under your feet. Do we have the right idea or what? Finally, there's the issue. Well, before that, let me just also mention, and I know people have mentioned this before, so I have to join the choir on this one because I'm a real fan of Jonathan Bozen. I thank him so much for the help he's done. And for the great work of Jay and Mike on the recording of the convention and the microphones. Let me wind down this report with a view towards the budgetary situation at the national office and the future of ACB. We have been real blessed this year with a real push from President Gray to move us forward in terms of securing the necessary financial resources so that this organization can not only continue what we're doing, but expand what we've done in ways that are measurable and in ways that are real helpful and meaningful to people who are blind. I talked about fundamental changes in the way that the society relates to blind people as a result of ACB's work this year. That doesn't come cheap. We've been able to leverage a lot of cost savings. We've been able to utilize human resources such as committees and such. We've been able to form partnerships outside the organization, and sometimes those partnerships actually result in financial support as well as human support for the operations of the organization. But our fundraising efforts at ACB must continue. And as much as I realize that all of us never want to hear, can you guys spare a little more money for this or that project, this or that raffle ticket, whatever? While we may not want to hear it, we all know in our hearts that what those things really are donations to the future that reap dividends for our children. That's the important thing to remember on that. And I'm pleased to say that President Gray and the board are working hard to develop people that I can work with from the national office in terms of generating new revenues for the organization, finding ways to secure financial security for the future. And I really am appreciative for all that leadership and effort that we've received. So thanks, Chris, and all of you guys. We have managed to take the budget, and we've saved lots of money at the national office through management initiatives. I won't go into all of them and bore you with the details, but I can tell you this. We have substantially saved money simply by taking certain things that we've used in the past and reevaluating them, looking at how we can get the job better with less costly equipment and services. And I think we've managed to do a good job at that at the national office. So I'm pleased with all the staff who've come up with the ideas and actually lived through the changes of, well, it doesn't work today, but don't worry, you'll have something tomorrow that will work. And they've done a real good job at that, and I really do appreciate that. Our budgetary situation at the national office is good. As you know, I am the primary person who's responsible for starting the budget process off for ACB. And so it's real meaningful to me to make sure that whatever I ask the rest of the organization to do, that the national office is prepared to do first, so that there's no question that the fairness of the budget applies across the board to everybody. And I am pleased to say that I think this year's budget process was a grueling one. We have certain assumptions we need to meet. We have certain goals that we need to work towards. And I believe that during the course of our board meetings, we will iron out reconcile any differences between where we started and where we're at. And I think financially this organization is on its way up, and we will be out of our problems within the next couple of years. And we have a lot of people to thank for that, most of whom are in this room today, and especially to each one of you in this audience for putting up with all the blah blah about the budget and giving when you needed to give and caring when you needed to care. So thank you very much. I will end where I started, and that is with the pictures of the people. This convention is the people first, and that's what we've done. Every time we've said, excuse me, or can I help you, every time that we've asked for a donation on behalf of a cause that benefits people, every time that our candidates have gotten up and gone hoarse in front of us trying to just share with us what they want to do for all of us, every time the national office staff lifts up a phone, does a fax, does an email, works on behalf of the organization, every time that any one of those actions happen, there is something that stands right in front of everything else. And that is the image of the blind person who says, I can do it. I can do it because we are doing it, and because I know I have family to support me and a dream to move me and an organization that can make it come true. Thank you. All right. Yeah, you have to forget one thing every time, right? And it's a very important thing. Yeah. We talked about people who are life members, and we have employees in this organization who have spent years on behalf of our efforts. And I want to recognize and thank and wish her all the best with not only her situation today, but in about 3 months, a new addition to her life. We have a 5-year thank you pin for Krista Merritt. Krista, are you out here? And don't worry, I'm not going to try to pin it on her. Apparently, Chris is not in the room right now. We will give it to her in private, and we'll certainly thank her on behalf of all of you for the work that she's done. Thanks, guys. Take care.
We're getting close to those elections that you're all in the room for. I want to do just a couple of fun things, though, first. I wasn't able to make a small presentation on Sunday night. You're probably all glad because Sunday night was kind of long anyway. But there's something in the wings in ACB which I think you're going to find very exciting, very rewarding. Maybe 3 or 4 months ago, Ralph Sanders, on behalf of the PR committee, began passing drafts by me about a new set of public service announcements for ACB. It's been a long time since we've had new PSAs, and he and his committee thought about various themes, what could be done, and so forth. I guess maybe 4 to 6 weeks ago, I looked at one of the final drafts, and it was getting pretty exciting by then. Then there was the coordination between Ralph and Pam Shaw of the membership committee. How would this affect membership? How might it be able to help us with our membership needs in ACB? And then came the third ingredient, someone who you all know and haven't heard much of yet this week, but you will, don't worry. That's Jonathan Mosen. Now, if there isn't a guy who could produce a public service announcement, I don't know who it would be besides Jonathan. And he has now I don't know if they're really in final form or more draft form. They've been worked on this week and listened to this week by certain small groups. I want him to play for you now the new set of ACB public service announcements. And if you want to say anything, Jonathan, that's fine too.
Do you have trouble distinguishing between a $20 and $10 bill in dim light? Are you blind or severely visually impaired? Or do you know anyone who is? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the American Council of the Blind, ACB, is for you. We are people from every walk of life who work together to enhance our lives. For more information or for a membership application, call toll-free 800-424-8666 or contact us online at www.acb.org. We are the American Council of the Blind, making a difference. I am sorry, but your baby is blind, the doctor says. I am sorry, but your first grader can't see well enough to keep up with classroom work, the teacher says. These are words a parent never wants to hear. But it doesn't have to be the end of the world. The American Council of the Blind is here for you. With a national network of state and local chapters, the ACB can make sure that you meet people who understand blindness. We will make sure your child meets people who are blind and who work for their education and who work and play just like everyone else. For more information or a membership application, call toll-free 800-424-8666. The American Council of the Blind, making a difference. Are the white and yellow lines on the road beginning to merge as one? Do you have trouble reading the sign on your own driveway? You are going blind. This is not a death sentence. You can still raise your children, pursue a career, snow ski, or have a full life of activities. Blind members of the American Council of the Blind ski, boat, sail, skydive, and much more every day. To find out just how fulfilling life can be when you can't see, contact the American Council of the Blind toll-free at 800-424-8666 or contact us online at www.acb.org. The American Council of the Blind, making a difference.
We're pretty excited about this.
Okay. Mr. Yeah. President.
Yes, John.
May I just briefly thank Steve Bauer from Wichita, Kansas, who's the voice that you hear there.
Wow. I like Steve.
We all get very busy at convention time, and what you've just heard is proof that ACB Radio would be nothing if it weren't for the 60 or so volunteers who give of their time to make it what it is. And Ralph Sanders sent me the script for these PSAs just before I was ready to take a 26-hour flight to Houston, and I was able to send those PSA scripts to Steve Bauer confident that he would do a job, and he tells me that this is just a draft. This is just a rough job that he put together for the seminar last Saturday, never dreaming that they would be played on the convention floor. But I think Steve, at short notice, has done an outstanding job. So thank you, Steve.
And there's just one more fun thing I want to bring to your attention before we start the elections. We may as well get ourselves in a positive space. And how many of you out there have thought about, have heard about, or are excited about the ACB cruise? Somebody said it before I even had the words out of my mouth. I would like for just a moment or two to introduce to you the lady who brought the idea first to Charlie, and then he began to talk about it with me. The lady who is working to put this all together, ladies and gentlemen, Sue Slater. Okay.
Good morning, you all. Hasn't this been a wonderful convention? And aren't we lucky to be part of this great organization? Now, my name is Sue Slater. I'm your friendly ACB cruise lady. And if you like to have fun and be pampered and see wonderful places, and while you're doing this to raise money for ACB, then join us on our cruise. It's going to be in Miami on November the 30th to December the 7th on the wonderful Carnival fun ship, the Triumph. And we're going to be going to such places as Cozumel, Mexico, Grand Cayman Island, and Ocho Rios, Jamaica. Carnival is looking forward to having all of us, and they're delighted that we're coming. For all you guys that have note takers and tape recorders out there, my email address is cruiseaway, that's CRUISEAWAY, the numbers 2001 at yahoo.com. That's cruiseaway 2001 at yahoo.com. My phone number in St. Louis is 314-726-6893. That's 314-726-6893. The 800 number to the agency is 1-800-273-7000. 1-800-999-6101. That's 1-800-999-6101. I'm in room 325 till Sunday, and I can be reached to answer questions or take bookings. Every one of you that goes on the cruise is donating $25 to ACB, and Carnival Cruise Lines is going to match that. At this time, you all have helped raise $3,500 for ACB, and I'm hoping to book all the space we have held, and at the end of December, to be able to give Chris a check for $12,000. I want to thank Penny, Charlie, and Chris for helping get the word out there. And if you all like cruising and you all want to do this on an annual basis, let me know, let Chris know. And maybe in a couple of years we can even take over the whole cruise ship and do our ACB convention on it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Fantastic.
And I'll now recognize Chris Prentice, who's asked to make a presentation.
Y'all still having fun in Houston? President Gray, on behalf of your hard work and your great leadership here in Houston this week as our president, I'd like to present you with what will be a collector's item very soon, I'm sure. The official American Council of the Blind of Texas baseball cap that has the embroidered logo of the American Council of the Blind of Texas, which is the state of Texas with a man walking with a cane and a lady walking with a dog walking across Texas. And it says American Council of the Blind of Texas. It's navy blue. And Chris Gray, I know you're not a cap wearer, but you are today.
I'm a long gold Dixon. I ride a big white horse.
Descriptive video, he has placed the cap on his head.
Yes, I'm a long gold Dixon. I ride a big white horse.
We ride from Texas on a big white horse.
Will people look at me and say, Aurora, Aurora, is that your horse?
Thank you very much, Chris, and thank you, ACB of Texas. I don't know if this cap quite goes with a black suit and a tie, but hey, what the heck?
Makes you look like an auto mechanic.
Might beat computer programming, I'll tell you. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, good friends of mine, Don and Judy Hansen, are not here this year. Judy had surgery, and I want you to know that they are dedicated. Don has taken this week off from work as vacation to be home with Judy, and he is listening to the ACB convention on the Internet.
Thank you very much, Donna. We're now going to move to the elections for the 5 board positions of the American Council of the Blind and the 3 elected positions of the Board of Publications. Let me begin by telling you a little bit about the procedure we're going to use and how I intend to handle things this morning. If there are any questions, we'll take care of those. But it's important to know just what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. I'm first going to recognize Oral Miller as chair of the Nominations Committee to remind us of the names of the 5 nominees who were put forward by the committee. We will then take the nominations in the order that they were reported from the Nominations Committee, and we'll go down the slate position by position and have our elections. Should there be another name entered for a position, another name in addition to that put forward by the committee, then we'll have speakers for each side. We'll have 5 minutes for each candidate, and the candidate can divide those 5 minutes in every way they can use it however they want to. When the candidates are put forth for nomination, each person will get to a microphone, please, say your name, your occupation, and tell us who your speakers are going to be. And then we'll set about the timing up here. We'll then, of course, have our elections. We'll have people standing, and you'll be counted. You must have your badges. You must have your badge with a dot to be counted. And I hope there isn't a grand exodus now to your rooms to get them. But counters will come around and count you, and we'll announce stand for this person, stand, sit down, stand for another person. In addition to that, we will have a roll call for the affiliate votes. It's pretty standard procedure for ACB old hands, but if this is your first year, that's a brief outline of how it works. And once we've done it about 3 or 4 times, you'll get the idea very well. Okay. Now, as the speakers are speaking on behalf of candidates, we'll let you know when you've used, what do you think, when you've used 4 minutes and then at 5 minutes. How's that? Okay. That is the basic procedure, and it is now my pleasure to recognize the chair of the Nominations Committee of ACB, ladies and gentlemen, Oral Miller. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President. I didn't know I was going to be called upon to read them, but I do recall the order. That's all right. I will mention also there's nothing magic about the order. If the President chooses another order, this is simply the order in which they were reported. Order in which they were announced for positions on the Board of Directors. The nominees of the committee were Alan Beatty of Colorado, Billie Jean Keith of Virginia, Patrick Sheehan of Maryland, Brian Charleston of Massachusetts, and Sandy Sanderson of Alaska. For the Board of Publications, the nominees of the committee were Winifred Downing of California, Mike Duke of Mississippi. I think that's the right way to say it, isn't it, Mississippi? And Linda Braithwaite of Utah. Thank you, Mr. President. That's the updated report.
Thank you very much, Oral. Okay, we now move to position one of the ACB Board of Directors. The name submitted by the nominating committee is that of Mr. Alan Beatty. Are there other nominations from the floor? Are there other nominations from the floor? I'm calling one a third time. Are there other nominations from the floor? It's been moved that nominations be closed.
Second.
And how about if we cast a unanimous ballot for Alan Beatty? Congratulations, Alan. If you want to get to a mic and say a few words, we'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
It's ready.
Okay, we'll go up to the front here. Is it on now?
Well, Alan, you can do better than that.
I take my vote back.
Your hands are
Oh, I wouldn't understand. Here I am. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Point of order.
Wouldn't you
point
know that
order.
I happened to grab the microphone that didn't work?
Point of order.
Just a moment. Wait till Alan's done.
Okay.
It is indeed a pleasure to be back on the board and working for this great organization. We heard a wonderful announcement from Charlie today, how well we're doing. We are going to do better. Thank you all very much.
Congratulations, Alan.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you.
Can you raise us a point of order, please?
Let's elect him. We didn't vote on the motion to close.
Yes, we did.
Did we?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. The second position brought to you from the nominating committee. The name for that position is Billie Jean Keith from Arlington, Virginia. Are there other nominations from the floor?
Mr. Chairman, this is Ray Campbell, the President of the Illinois Council of the Blind. It's my honor to rise and place in nomination the name of Carla Rushville of Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay. Are there other nominations from the floor? Are there other nominations from the floor? And a third time, are there other nominations from the floor?
Move nominations to close.
Second!
It's been moved and seconded the nominations be closed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay.
No,
all right, Billie Jean, tell us what you do, please, and announce your speakers.
Thank you, Chris. I'm Billie Jean Keith from Arlington, Virginia. I am a writer and an advocate and a former federal employee. The people who will be nominating me are Mike Duke from my home state of Mississippi, and the seconding will be Julie Carroll from my home adopted state of Virginia. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. I guess.
I'm conferring with the timekeeper. Hang on just one second.
Okay. Are you mics? Okay. If they call me, here's the microphone. It just is Mike at the mic?
Yes, I am.
Were you going to ask the other candidate first for their speakers? Or
no.
Okay.
No, we were just getting ourselves together here about keeping the time.
Okay.
all right.
Okay.
We'll start timing for you now, Mike.
Billie Jean is well known as the current volunteer editor of Here and There in the Braille Forum. In her professional life, she has served as the founding director of Radio Reading Service of Mississippi, director of communications of the Blinded Veterans Association and editor of their newsletter for 4 years, and she then served as a program specialist at the National Council on Disabilities, the presidential agency which wrote the Americans with Disabilities Act. Billie Jean has been involved in American Council of the Blind since the 80s, when she was twice elected to consecutive terms as president of the Mississippi Council of the Blind, and then served 2 terms as our secretary. 3 times during the 80s, she was elected to the ACB Board of Publications. It was Billie Jean's idea to establish the Vernon Henley Media Award. In 1992, she was appointed as chair of the Board of Publications and served in that position for 4 years. During her tenure, the Board of Publications established the Candidates Forum. Also as chair, she coordinated the convention press room. Billie Jean has served on the credentials, awards, and scholarship committees, along with the boards of CCLVI and ACB government employees. She has also been co-chair of Women's Concerns. If Billie Jean Keith is elected to the ACB Board of Directors, you will have a hard worker who knows how to get along with people, meets deadlines, who listens, and who will speak her mind on issues. Thank you.
Mr. President.
You have 1 minute and 30 seconds, Julie.
Thank you. I am very pleased to speak on behalf of Billie Jean Keith.
I've had the opportunity to get to know her over the past 7 years through our local affiliate, the Northern Virginia Council of the Blind. And in Virginia, we know Billie Jean as a leader, a worker, a communicator, and a caring individual who is dedicated to improving the lives of people who are blind. Billie Jean is the president of the NOVA chapter and has been for 3 years, and she served on the board before that for 10 years. She also is chairing the fundraising effort for the scholarship program of ACB. Billie Jean is not just a leader. She will pitch in, roll up her sleeves, and do the work. In Washington, we are often called upon, the local members there, to make a presence before Congress or hearings or demonstrations such as for detectable warnings or video description. We can always count on Billie Jean to be there, no matter how short the notice. She's a communicator. She spends an incredible amount of her own time getting information out to blind people through an email list. She writes articles. And, by the way, she just won the second prize for the 2002 Edwin Dickinson Writers Award in Australia. Finally, we know Billie Jean as a compassionate, caring individual who, despite all these activities, will drop whatever she's doing to help any blind person in need in our community. A leader, a worker, a communicator, and a caring individual. I hope you'll agree with me that this is the kind of person ACB members deserve to have on our board. Please join me in supporting Billie Jean.
All right, thank you. Carla?
Yes.
Who, tell us what you do and who will be your speakers, please.
All right. I'm Carla Rushival. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. I am a former science, technology, and math teacher of both children and adults. I'm currently an educational consultant and am self-employed. My speakers this morning will be Pat Schreck of the Library Users of America and ACB of Washington State, and also Ed Bradley of the ACB of Texas and the local host convention chairman this year.
Okay. Go ahead.
I know you've all heard it said that if you want something done, give it to a busy person. I want to paraphrase that statement this morning by saying if you want something done and done well, give it to Carla Rushival. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of ACB, and good day to the world out there who joins us live in Houston thanks to ACB Radio. It is with real pleasure that I come before you this morning to speak in support of the nomination of Carla Rushival for the ACB Board of Directors. When I first met Carla just 2 years ago at my first ever ACB convention in Louisville, my immediate impression was of a warm, dynamic woman who knew exactly what she was about and where she was going. It was an impression that was way short of the mark. As I've come to know her better, I've also come to know that she is not only warm and dynamic, but she is full of high energy and passion, a real force to be reckoned with because of her deep commitment to the advocacy work she does on behalf of ACB and on behalf of all blind people in this great nation of ours. Carla has served on three occasions as president of the Kentucky Council of the Blind. She is currently its state treasurer. In addition, she is newsletter editor, coordinator of the Kentucky Talking Newspaper, and coordinator and co-host of a weekly one-hour talk show carried on commercial radio. Just recently, she assisted with the establishment of a Kentucky chapter of GDUI. In addition to her work at the state and local levels, Carla has worked tirelessly for well over 20 years in many national roles. She has served 2 terms on the ACB Board of Directors in the 1980s and has been actively involved in at least 14 special interest affiliates, including supporting the work and the issues of such organizations as AABL, GDUI, BRL, and NABS. Carla has worked on at least 8 conventions in a variety of capacities. Ladies and gentlemen of the ACB, I believe strongly that Carla Ruschival can bring to this great organization the level of commitment and experience needed right now to keep us moving forward. I strongly support her nomination, and I urge you to let your voices be heard this morning in favor of Carla Ruschival's election to the Board of Directors of the American Council of the Blind. Thank you.
You heard the term, step up to the plate. Well, Carla Ruschival does that, has done that, and will do that for the American Council of the Blind. I have worked this year with Carla on the convention committee. I have never seen anyone be more fair, be more honest, be more hardworking for this organization and what it means than Carla Ruschival. We need people that will be energetic and fair and dedicated. Carla has been that for many, many years. I don't feel that anyone will be more fair and more honest and more forthright for this organization on this board. We're at a critical time in ACB, so let's make this critical time go forward and positive by electing Carla Ruschival to the Board of ACB. Thank you very much.
You guys are good. You're under time. All right. Now we move to the voting process. Counters, are you ready? Okay. The counters are ready. And so we'll have the standing vote for Billie Jean. If you want to vote for Billie Jean Keith, please stand up now. And what?
Oh, probably.
If you must move around, if you, and I hope you don't have to, but I know sometimes people have to move, and you don't want to be counted for a candidate, you should cover your badge. Okay? That way it won't be counted. Yep, counters, don't forget us. And after we have the standing vote for each of these two candidates, we will then have the secretary call the roll and take the vote of the affiliate for the candidates. In the meantime, we have the opportunity to carry on ACB business. And I want to use that opportunity because I'm telling you, if I can make it happen, we are going to get done today. To that end, I would like to introduce to you now the chair of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee to work with us on the final amendment he has to present. Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Campbell. Tell you what, Ray, you go ahead and do that. Jeff, how about a resolution instead?
We can do that.
Okay, Jeff Tom will do a resolution for us, and that'll let you do what you
okay.
need to do, Ray.
We have number 19, 2002-19. Oklahoma Division of Visual Services. Whereas the Oklahoma Division of Visual Services and the Oklahoma Division of Rehabilitation Services are both contained within the Oklahoma Department of Rehabilitation Services. Department. And whereas the department is considering combining the administrative and supervisory positions of both divisions. And whereas this proposal was initiated and is being developed without the input of either department staff, without the input of either department staff with expertise in the field of blindness or consumer organizations which represent persons who are blind or visually impaired. And whereas similar measures adopted in other states have eroded the quality and quantity of services available to people who are blind or visually impaired, Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 5th day of July at the Adams Mark Hotel in Houston, Texas, that this organization join with its affiliate, the Oklahoma Council of the Blind, in continuing to support the delivery of categorically specific services to persons who are blind or visually impaired by field and supervisory staff having expertise in blindness, thereby opposing the proposal for the integration of administrative and supervisory personnel of the Division of Visual Services and the Division of Rehabilitation Services. And the committee recommends a do pass. Is there any discussion?
Question.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The resolution has carried. Get up another one here. Ready, Ray? I got one if he's not. Either way. By the way, I will just add, not that it needs adding, that obviously the Oklahoma Council of the Blind sponsored that fine resolution.
I'm ready, Mr. President.
Well, you know, I may want to run for office some year, and I want to please those folks.
I'm ready with an amendment.
Okay, Ray Campbell for the amendment.
All right. It's a fun job when you're trying to be a delegate and count votes. Let me get to the beginning of this amendment. Here we go. Okay. This is the one I read to you yesterday. Before, and starting on Braille page 28, amend bylaw 3. And by the way, after I read this one, I'm going to offer a little bit of explanation as this amendment so you understand what's happening. Amend bylaw 3, section B, subsection 1, by replacing $1,875 with $3,125. The current wording, number 1, no affiliate organization shall be required to pay annual dues of more than $1,875. Okay, proposed wording, number 1, no affiliate organization shall be required to pay annual dues of more than $3,125.
Excuse me, Ray. Those in favor of Billie Jean may sit down. And those voting for Carla Rushable, please stand. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I'm going to take the mic out of the... Oops, I shouldn't do that. The committee recommends a do pass on that amendment, and I would so entertain a motion. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Let me explain this amendment very quickly so that you understand what's happening. Last year, as you know, at this convention, we raised our per capita dues from $3 to $5. Okay, now, per person. Now, that's going to take effect in 2003. When we did that, right now you pay $3 per capita up to a max of $1,875. If you divide $1,875 by 3, you get $625. So in order to maintain 625 members, I'm sorry. So in order to maintain the 625, we actually forgot to do this last year. We had to raise the total annual dues up to $3,125 to maintain $625. $3,125 divided by 5 equals $625. Now, some of you all are very smart people out there, and some of you have probably already figured out that 1,875 does divide by 5 and divides by 5 very nicely down to 375. So if we had not, if we do not make this change, the net effect would be to actually lower the cap on the members that you pay for. So this actually is, we raised the dues to $5. We agreed to that last year. This was actually, the committee felt something we should have corrected last year and did not. So this is why we're doing it this year. So just a little bit of explanation. Is there any debate? Okay, the question's been called. Let's vote. All those in favor of the adoption of this amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Before I relinquish the microphone here, I once again would like to acknowledge my committee. I'd like to acknowledge Frank Cuda from Washington State. All right. Good morning, Washington. Erlene Hughes from Indiana. You got a long ways to go, Indiana. But that's great. Thank you, Erlene. Scott Stanger from Utah and Don Thompson from Hawaii. Oh, boy. And also I'd like to thank Terry Pacheco for her assistance in the national office on helping get meetings scheduled and doing all the things that need to be done in that arena. Last but certainly next, I want to thank the press room, Penny Reeder and the folks there, for getting things copied for us. It was terrific. You guys were a great help. Thanks a lot. Last but certainly not least, I want to thank President Ray for showing the confidence in me to ask me to chair this committee. It was an honor to do this year, and I would encourage each and every one of you to get a copy of our Constitution and read it through cover to cover. It's an interesting document, and if you're interested at all in the governance of this organization, it's a great document. But again, thank you, President Gray, for showing the confidence that you showed in me to appoint me to this very important chairmanship. And thank you, ACB, for a great year, and we'll see you next year.
Ray, you're very welcome, and you've shown that my confidence was in no way misplaced. Okay, that concludes the report of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, and we'll now move back to Jeff Tom for another one of those resolutions.
Okay, we have another one. This is 2002-10, Mail to NLS, and this was sponsored by the California Council of Blind. Whereas, due to the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, and the receipt by federal officials of letters containing anthrax spores, federal offices did not receive U.S. Postal Service mail for an extended period of time and continue to experience extraordinary delays. And whereas the central headquarters of the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, therefore, received no Postal Service mail for some time. Excuse me. And whereas for this reason no mail was received concerning problems with the service, requesting the helpful bibliographies available to patrons, or ordering any of the valuable reference materials the service has on hand. And whereas NLS did not inform patrons of its failure to receive mail until an extended period of time had elapsed. And whereas Braille transcribers are the main source for producing textbooks for blind students throughout the country. And whereas the failure by NLS to receive transcribers' certification materials has prevented the certification of Braille transcribers, thereby adversely impacting the education of blind children. And whereas no plan whatsoever has been advanced to address the problems created by the non-receipt and delayed receipt of postal mail, now, therefore, be it resolved that the American Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 5th day of July, 2002, at the Adams Mark Hotel in Houston, Texas, that this organization direct its officers and staff to contact appropriate federal agencies, including NLS, in order to obtain a timely solution to the problems outlined in this resolution. And the committee recommends it do pass. There is a motion on the floor and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. The resolution has passed. You know, I didn't hear anybody who wanted to discuss it. However, since I did not call for discussion, in this particular case, is there anybody who wants to discuss the resolution?
Yeah.
Okay, come to the mic. Normally I would not do that, but I did not make the call, and that is an error.
We can redo the vote afterwards, folks. It'll be all right.
Man.
Are you on a mic?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Sarah Blake from Indiana.
Mr. Chairman.
I hear the gentleman first.
Mr. Chairman, this is Paul Edwards. I work closely with the National Library Service during this year and know that they made substantial efforts to alleviate the issue of mail, did send out notices to the network, did make every effort to communicate in a variety of ways. More than that, however, I'm concerned by the absence of a meaningful resolved clause in this resolution. It seems to me to send a resolution from this organization that essentially says, tell them to solve the problem, doesn't constitute a constructive response, and I would urge the defeat of this resolution.
Any further discussion?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Michael Byington.
I called for the floor before.
Okay, yes. Yes, you did. You did.
Thank you. My concerns with the resolution have to do with the fact that we don't have a corner on not receiving our mail. It was all over the news. We shouldn't have to be notified unless the whole entire United States gets notified about their mail. Also, we do have telephones. We can still order materials by the telephone. And I would like to encourage a rewording of the resolution to address the transcriber problems because that is legitimate.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, wait. Mr. Byington.
Thank you very much. This is Michael Byington, and in my job now I have the opportunity to work with a couple of other federal agencies to which I have to frequently submit support reports. The most frequent reports going to the FCC. The FCC has been much more, in my view, upfront about the fact that they're not receiving mail, have made more extraordinary efforts than I have seen in some of the NLS releases and so on to expose alternate ways in which materials can get to them and so on. I don't feel that this resolution expresses a lack of appreciation for the work of NLS or anything like that. I do think it points to a problem where more attention to the subject needs to be paid. I don't think the resolution is overly negative. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr.
Yes. We're going to have one more for and one more again. So,
Catherine,
go ahead. And then we'll have
Catherine Stivers, California. True, we're far out there on the West Coast, but and we don't, I mean, we're not talking about people who get their individual mail. Well, no, of course nobody's going to call us up and tell us that. But we have not been receiving, and we have a large state, and nobody from one end to the other was being notified what was going on. And we certainly do appreciate NLS. And as for not telling them how to solve their problem, you know, it's the job of these federal agencies to solve their problem. How can we tell them what to do? We just are telling them they need to correct a situation that's there. We'd be happy to do it. But it's up to the federal agencies who serve us to figure out when they have a problem. I think if we bring it to their attention, the attention, the solution is there. So I hope you'll support this resolution. We are not getting proper information.
Okay, one more comment.
You may be seated.
From opposition to the resolution.
Mr. President?
Yes, you're in opposition?
I think that what we're doing here is, you know,
The resolution has a few problems, but I still think we need to work towards communication, and this is what it's all about. So, I'm Deanna Noriega. I'm speaking for BRL. I think that the problem with this resolution.
Deanna, I have to rule you out of order unless you are going to speak in opposition, because.
Well, I'm in opposition to this particular resolution.
Okay, that's fine.
And I was going to propose a friendly amendment if I could, because I understand what Paul's issue is. BRL's biggest concern was with our transcribers, because several people have approached me saying that they did send in transcripts, or people from their affiliate groups did send in transcripts and had heard nothing and didn't even realize there was a mailing problem, and that those transcripts are piling up in a warehouse someplace and they're not receiving their certification. So that's BRL's concern. So what I would like to do is put a friendly amendment forward that special effort be made to pull these transcripts out of the pile of mail and get them processed.
Well, okay, before we do any friendly amendments, we may have to come back to this after the vote. We're going to need a motion to, even though we've had the discussion, a motion to reconsider the vote.
All right, I'll so move.
It must be done, pursuant to instructions from the parliamentarian, must be done by someone who voted on the prevailing side, someone who voted for the resolution.
I did.
Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second? All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. Okay, well, I would say the motion has carried, so it can be reconsidered. Now, having done that, we'll have to decide, are we going to finish this? Okay, now, your amendment, Deanna, is to restate your amendment for the record?
Be it resolved clause to request that special effort be made to pull out the transcripts of people who are applying for certifications and process those.
Okay.
The transcribers' certification manuscripts.
Well, that is an. It's certainly not an amendment. May or may not be folks who will agree or disagree, I will put that amendment to a vote. Remember, we're just voting on an amendment to the resolution if we have a second for the amendment. Okay, there is a second. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Okay, the amendment has failed. We will now vote on the resolution itself.
Wait, you wanted an opposition a while ago?
Well, technically... Okay. All right, let's have one more opposition.
I'm here.
Okay.
Mr. President, I understand, this is Walter Siren, I understand the problems that people are talking about. However, let's be sensible. What happened on September the 9/11 certainly was not expected. This is a very unusual situation, and this anthrax thing, they were trying to keep the country safe, and you can't complain because we might have not got mail for a little while. Frankly, if that's the case, I could complain because I beep so much in the security line, I had problem, but frankly, I was glad to be safe here, even though I do go to the hospital, but I was safe here. So, frankly, I think we've got to be careful. We don't want the people to, you know, take a chance on our safety just because we want some mail to get through. Sure, we want the mail to get through, but I want to stay alive, too. Thank you.
Okay. Now we are going to have the vote because the motion to reconsider was passed. So we will now vote on the resolution. All those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
I would say the noes have it. The resolution is defeated.
It's amazing what some discussion can do. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Never fail to call for discussion again.
I believe that. All right. The standing vote is done. We're now prepared for the roll call of affiliates. You know the order, friends. please try and be at mics and get lined up so we can do this voting in a relatively speedy way. And I want to make an announcement now, if I might, just so you'll think about this. When we're taking the standing votes, please do not come in and out of the hall if you can possibly avoid it. The doors are going to be closed when we're taking the standing votes because the counters had a devil of a time getting this count. And it was just because of too many people coming and going. All right, thank you. I now turn the microphone over to Donna Seliger to call the roll.
Mr. President, before Donna starts, I want everyone to know that the microphone back near the Florida delegation in the back corner of the room here is out, and I can't fix it till the break. So there's one less mic over on the stage right side of the room. But this mic up here in the front that I'm speaking on now is working fine.
Thank you, Jay. Okay, Donna, go ahead.
Are we ready?
We are ready.
Alabama, you have 10 votes.
Alabama cast 10 votes for Carla.
Alaska, 19 votes.
19 votes, Carla.
Arizona, 9 votes.
Arizona, 3 votes, Keith. 6 votes, Carla.
Excuse me. Arkansas, 6 votes.
6, Keith.
California, 25 votes.
California, 15. Oh, no, let me reverse here. Keith, 10, and Rushable, 15.
Okay. Keith, 10. Rushable, 15. ACB of Colorado, 5 votes.
Colorado, 3 1/2, Keith. 1 1/2, Rushable.
3 1/2, Keith. 1 1/2, Rushable. Connecticut, 1 vote.
Connecticut, 1 vote, Keith.
1 vote, Keith. Delaware, 1 vote.
Delaware, 1, Keith.
1, Keith. D.C. Council, 3 votes.
Between two excellent candidates, 3 votes for Keith.
Florida's next.
Florida, 25 votes.
Florida votes 19, Keith, 6, Carla.
19, Keith, 6, Carla. Georgia, 11 votes.
Georgia votes 3, Keith, 8, Russell.
3, Keith, 8, Russell. Hawaii Association, 2 votes.
Hawaii voting under dictator's rule, 2 votes, Rushable.
2 Rushable. Idaho, 1 vote. Illinois, 10 votes.
Illinois Council of the Blind proudly cast 2.5 votes, Keith, 7.5 votes, Rushable.
2.5 Keith, 7.5 Rushable. Indiana, 9 votes.
Indiana, 9 votes, Billie Jean.
9 Keith. Iowa, 8 votes.
Iowa cast 8 votes for Carla of Rushable.
8 Rushable. Kansas, 10 votes.
Kansas cast 10 votes for Rushable.
10 Rushable. Kentucky Council of the Blind, 13 votes.
Kentucky Council of the Blind, 13, Rushable.
13, Rushable, okay. Bluegrass, 3 votes.
Bluegrass, 3 votes, Rushable.
3, Rushable. Louisiana, 3 votes.
Louisiana, 2 votes, Billie Jean, 1 vote, Rushmore.
2 Keith, 1 Rushable. Maine, 3 votes. Maryland, 6 votes.
Maryland, 3.5 Keith, 2.5 Rushable.
3.5 Keith, 2.5 Rushable. Bay State, 15 votes.
Bay State, 15 Keith.
15 Keith. Michigan, 8 votes.
Michigan would like to cast 7 votes for Carlo Rushable, 1 vote, Billie Jean Keith.
1 Keith, 7 Rushable. Minnesota, 4 votes.
Minnesota, 2.5 votes, Carla. I mean, excuse me, Billie Jean, 1.5 Rushable.
2.5 Keys, 1.5 Rushable. Mississippi, 11 votes.
Mississippi casts 11 votes for our native daughter, Billie Jean Keith.
11 Keith. Missouri, 25 votes.
Missouri happily cast 25 votes, Carla Rushable.
25 Rushable. Nebraska, 2 votes.
Let me find the mic.
This is Mary Susan Arrester, president of ACBN. I'm now the delegate. We're putting 1/2 vote for Billie Jean, 1.5 for Carla.
1.5 Keith?
No.
No, 1/2 Keith and 1.5 Rushable? Okay, thank you. Nevada, 4 votes.
Nevada cast 4 votes for Rushable.
4 Rushable. New Jersey, 5 votes.
New Jersey cast 5 votes for Billy.
5 Keith. New Mexico, 2 votes. Moving on. New York, 11 votes.
6 Keith, 5 Rushable.
6 Keith, 5 Rushable. North Carolina, 10 votes.
10 Carla.
10 Rushable. North Dakota, 7 votes.
7 votes, Rushable.
7 Rushable. Ohio, 13 votes.
Ohio, 8 Billie Jean, 5 Carla.
8 Keith, 5 Rushable. Oklahoma, 25 votes.
Oklahoma, 22 Billie Jean, 3 Carla.
22 Keith, 3 Rushable. Oregon, 12 votes.
Oregon cast 7 votes for Billie Jean and 5 votes for Carla.
7 Keith, 5 Rushable. Pennsylvania, 25 votes.
Pennsylvania, 25 for Keith.
25 Keith. South Carolina, 2 votes.
South Carolina, 2 votes for Keith.
2 Keith. South Dakota, 8 votes. Moving on. Tennessee, 6 votes.
Tennessee, 2 Keith, 4 Rushmore.
2 Keith, 4 Rushmore.
That's that mouth again.
I'm sorry. Texas, 14 votes.
The Lone Star State cast 5 for Billie Jean Keith and 9 for Carla Rushable.
5 Keith, 9 Rushable. Utah, 25 votes.
Utah. Billie Jean Keith, 8 votes. Carla Rushable, 17 votes.
Keith, 8. Rushable, 17. Vermont, 2 votes.
Vermont, 2 votes, Keith.
2 Keith. Old Dominion, 4 votes.
Old Dominion, Billie Jean, 1. Carla, 3.
Keith, 1. Rushable, 3. Virginia Association, 25 votes.
Virginia Association of the Blind, 25 votes, Carla.
25 votes, Rushable. Washington Council, 10 votes.
3 votes, Keith. 7 votes, Carla.
3 Keith, 7 Rushable. Badger Association, 25 votes.
10 Keith, 15 Rushable.
10 Keith, 15 Rushable. Wyoming Council, 1 vote. Moving on. Alliance on Aging, 6 votes.
AAVL cast 6 votes for Billy Jean Keith.
6 Keith. ACB Lawyers, 25 votes.
No.
What happened to lawyers?
2.5. I'm sorry, 2.5.
Wait a minute.
It's 2.5.
Lawyers, 2.5 Keith.
2.5 Keith. Thank you. Government employees, 2 votes.
Government employees proudly cast 2 votes for one of our own, Billie Jean Keith.
2 Keith. Blind Lions, 16 votes.
Lions cast 16 for Carla.
16 Rushable. Radio Amateurs, 2 votes.
ACB Radio Amateurs, 2 Keith.
2 Keith.
Which one are you? Okay, I'm behind you. Okay.
B Flag, 2 votes.
B Flag, 2 votes for Ms. Kina.
Pardon?
2 for Billie Jean.
Thank you. 2 Keith.
Okay.
BRL, 15 votes.
15 votes, Keith.
15, Keith. CCLBI, 12 votes.
12, Keith.
12, Keith. FIA, 4 votes.
Friends in Earth. 3 yes. votes, Keith. 1 vote, Rushable.
3, Keith. 1, Rushable. Guide Dog Users, 25 votes.
Guide Dog Users, Inc. cast 25 votes for Billie Jean Keith.
25, Keith.
Oh.
Ivy, 5 votes.
5, Rushable.
5, Rushable. Library Users, 4 votes.
Library Users cast 4 votes for Rushable.
4, Rushable. National Association of Blind Teachers, 3 votes.
Point of order, Madam Chairman.
Yes.
You said 5 votes, she voted 4. The number is correct.
I read it.
In other words, there may be a vote missing. You stated on the last.
Get to a mic.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Would you get to a microphone?
Someone is saying that, is it Ivy? The Ivy vote was, oh, she only cast 4 votes when she should have cast 5 or something. What is it? Will Ivy please restate their vote?
Thank you. 5 Rushable.
5 Rushable. Okay.
That's correct.
All right. Okay. What is the Lua vote, please?
Lua has 4 votes. And I have 4.
Lua said 4 votes, Rushable.
All right.
That's right.
Very good. So there is. Let's have order now, folks. Let's have order, and we'll proceed.
Okay. National Alliance of Blind Students, 5 votes.
NABS.
They're next.
NABS is 4. NABS 4. 4 Keith, 1 Rushable.
4 Keith, 1 Rushable. Teachers, 3 votes.
Teachers, 3 votes, Keith.
3 Keith. RSVA, 25 votes.
RSVA, 13, Keith, 12, Rushable.
13, Keith, 12, Rushable. Data processors, 2 votes.
1.5, Keith.
0.5 Rushable.
1.5 Keith, 0.5 Rushable. Yes. Visually impaired veterans, 4 votes. 2 votes.
Visually impaired veterans, 2 Keith.
2 Keith. Thank you.
Okay, let's just wait a moment, because I know that Jim is fast with his numbers.
The vote.
Excuse me, take the paper. Let's have order, and let's try and hear the whole vote, please.
The vote for Billie Jean Keith is a total of 513.5. For Carla Rushable, 551. The percentage for Carla is 51.76%.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, is that Carla?
This is Carla Rushable.
Yes.
I would just like to thank everybody. I appreciate your support so much, and I look forward to serving on this board for 4 more years. Thank you very much for a wonderful opportunity.
This is Billie Jean Keith. I want to congratulate you, Carla, and I assure you I want to be working with you in the convention next year. Thank you.
Okay. We now move to the third position. The candidate reported out by the nominating committee is Pat Sheehan. Are there other nominations from the floor?
Mr. President?
Yes, who rises?
Hello, I'm Art Stevenson.
Yes?
Art Stevenson, first vice president of the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America. We're in convention this week. We voted unanimously to support this person. I nominate Ralph Sanders.
Okay. The name of Ralph Sanders is placed in nomination. Are there other nominations from the floor? Are there other nominations from the floor? And a third and final call. Are there other nominations from the floor? It's been moved and seconded. The nominations be closed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. All right. Pat, who will tell us what you do and who your speakers will be, please.
Thank you. This is Pat Sheehan. I'm from Silver Spring, Maryland, and I work as a computer specialist for Department of Veterans Affairs in Washington, D.C. My two speakers this morning will be Al Pietrolongo, ACB President of Maryland, and Ms. Janine Stanley with GDUI. Thank you.
All right. Mark Lena is my timekeeper this morning. If you're coming. Now we'll get ourselves together to get started. Okay. Very well. When you're ready, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Coming to convention means making choices, and I am asking you to choose Patrick Sheehan for the position on the board of directors. Pat has been part of the leadership group and our state affiliate for more than 11 years, serving continuously in one office or another at the state affiliate level while continuing to preside as the leader of a very active chapter in our state affiliate. Currently, for the national organization, he serves on both the important Environmental Access Committee and the equally important Information Access Committee. Pat defines service by taking the time, for example, to show a member how to get descriptive video on her television. He also defines service by negotiating agreements with governmental agencies that could impact the lives of hundreds and thousands of blind people in Maryland. I became familiar with his work even before I met him, because you see, in our neck of the woods, there was this transit agency that was listening to another blindness organization. As a consequence of that, blind people were falling off of subway platforms. I heard about this group that was trying to convince this transit agency to listen to blind people who think logically rather than those who think ideologically, and Pat Sheehan won that argument, and we got those detectable warnings on the subway platform. During my shift as affiliate president, the State Highway Administration was throwing roadblocks in the path of our effort to get accessible pedestrian signals. So we devised a strategy for going to local governments to try to get the devices installed. And we did. We got 4 devices installed statewide. Then Pat went to work and negotiated an agreement with Montgomery County to get 13 new accessible pedestrian signals in Silver Spring. When the State Board of Elections came to us and said they were buying new equipment in 4 counties and they wanted to make sure that equipment was fully accessible to visually impaired voters, I asked Pat to take on that assignment because of his strong technology base. He got the job done. It was a very tight political situation because the chief executive in Montgomery County didn't want to get with the program. So Pat and his chapter went to work and made sure he got with the program, and we won a 3-2 vote on the State Board of Elections. And in addition to installing new election equipment in 4 counties, they have made a commitment to try to get the new election equipment statewide in the near future. Now we've asked Pat to serve on an advisory committee for the Maryland Department of Transportation. This is a tough assignment because this department has been very unfriendly with us in the past. But after 2 meetings, he's beginning to make progress. We're not surprised because in Maryland for 11 years, we've been giving tough assignments to Pat Sheehan and then watching him produce tangible results. He wants to have that opportunity to produce tangible results for all of us, and I hope you will give it to him. Thank you.
Okay, the next speaker.
Thank you. Had to lower the mic. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Janine Stanley, and I'm very proud to speak in favor of Pat Sheehan receiving this particular office from you, the membership. My association with Pat, of course, began, as all things with me begin, through GDUI. He's not quite Mr. GDUI, but almost. It's been my pleasure to work with Pat over the years as Jane Sheehan's faithful spouse, but also as a person that we can count on for follow-through.
4 minutes.
Thank you. As Al said, you give tough assignments to Pat and he completes them. And that's what I want you to know about Pat more than anything else. Obviously, he's got a stellar record in advocacy, but the way that Pat achieves that is by being there 365 days a year, not just at convention, not just when the spotlight is on him and when people are around. He does all the hard work that nobody wants to do, such as serving on our finance committee for GDUI and helping us not lose our butts in the stock market this year. He wants to do that for ACB, and I hope you'll give him that opportunity.
Ralph, if you'll get to a microphone.
Mr. President.
All right.
I am Ralph Sanders. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, and I earn my living as a partner in a consulting and advocacy firm specializing in Social Security, vocational rehabilitation, and Randolph-Shepard work. My first speaker this morning is a former member of the Board of Directors of the American Council of the Blind and a past Scholarship Committee Chairman, Dr. Jack Lewis, the current President of the Georgia Council of the Blind. My second speaker is the President of the Arizona Council of the Blind and leader of the newly formed Shelter Workshop Group in the American Council of the Blind, Dan Martinez.
Okay, thank you very much. Jack, are you at a microphone?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, I very much encourage that we get Ralph Sanders on the ACB Board of Directors. I believe strongly in his ability, his talents, and his commitment to the goals and principles of ACB. Ralph is an active leader in Maryland and as well as in ACB. Ralph has been around for several years now and is well known to all of us because I think he's excelled in every assignment that's been given to him. He has been a very valuable member in the Resource Development Committee, and of course he has done a tremendous job as chair of the Public Relations Committee, and his accomplishments here very much speaks for itself. He has been successful, as you know, in getting coverage over CNN, the Associated Press, and National Public Radio. You know, there's a saying that he who sings his own praises is seldom asked for an encore. Ralph takes issue with this premise because ACB, he believes, has plenty to be proud of, and he is absolutely determined that he use the PR committee and its effectiveness to let the nation and the world know what we, the blind, the number one blind movement in the nation, are what we are all about. Ralph has provided his legal knowledge on to help other people. He has helped blind vendors who found their snack bars threatened in some way, and has successfully given legal direction to save that snack bar. Ralph has assisted affiliates, including his own, with fundraising efforts. He has advocated in Maryland and has been instrumental in the installation of audible signals and the advancement of public transportation. And let me say here, I think that any of us should be rather apprehensive when a person, when someone says that this person got the signals installed, this person got paratransit. As you know, successful advocacy means that we work as a team. And Ralph is a part of a team, and he was a very important part of the team in Maryland that got these things accomplished. And Ralph was certainly a part of the team here at the national level. He has been legislative chair in the state of Maryland, and he has been a treasurer of the affiliate. ACB is no longer a small affiliate where everyone knows everyone else like it was back 30, 40 years ago. It is now the exception rather than the rule when a person achieves universal name recognition in the organization. Ralph is that exception. Why? Because he is heavily involved in practically every aspect of convention life. He is known as a person who takes on a challenge and gets the job done. This is certainly evident as chair of the PR committee. And the PR committee has just been made a standing committee because of the outstanding contribution it's making to the public perception of the American Council. Ralph wants you to know that he will continue his involvement in ACB whether or not he is elected to be on the board. But because this is because he loves ACB and he loves all of us. We are his life. However, I believe that most of you realize that his election to the board will further enhance our vision in the future. So please give Ralph your full support for this board position.
This is Dan Martinez of the Arizona Council of the Blind and Abide. Folks who know me know that I'm a quiet person. And that I own... Time?
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You're fine.
Thank you. People know that I'm a quiet person. I only speak up when I feel passionate about something. And that's why I'm standing up this morning asking you to support Ralph Sanders. Ralph Sanders is an individual that has, for most of his life, fought for the rights of the working blind, whether they were employed or not. He has supported workshop workers throughout his life, also the business enterprise program. He works now as an advocate for individuals with disabilities. He understands the effectiveness of an organization is tied to its identity. And Ralph is the individual that provided the impetus to increase our identity to the American public. Transportation issues.
Okay. I'm sorry, Dan. You hit your 5 minutes, and So I have to stop you there. And I also think I need to say, ladies and gentlemen, the time is being kept up here, not down there. Creating confusion and depriving a candidate of part of their time by doing it down there really isn't fair. So we'll take care of it, I promise you. Marvelyn is up here, she's got a stopwatch, we have a backup stopwatch, and we're not going to go over time. Now then, let's go to the vote. Will those in favor of Pat Sheehan please rise? And Jeff, how about another one of those resolutions?
Okay. I have one up, and it is number 2004. Another, and you'll be tired of these, California resolution. The Segway scooter. Whereas Segway LLC has developed a self-balancing, non-tandem, two-wheeled device that can turn in place and that is designed to transport only one person at a maximum speed of less than 12 miles per hour to be operated on a sidewalk. And whereas S-2024, introduced by Senator Bob Smith, Republican, New Hampshire, would permit this device, known as the Segway, to be used on federal sidewalks and trails in states in which its use is permitted. And whereas legislation has been introduced in every state to permit operation of the Segway on sidewalks, and whereas more than half of the states have already adopted this legislation, and whereas such a device, being battery-powered, generates very little noise, and whereas both the speed of the device and its innate quietness raise serious pedestrian safety concerns, especially for persons with visual impairments, and whereas these concerns have caused some pedestrian advocacy groups to strenuously oppose legislation permitting operation of the Segway on sidewalks, and whereas although Segway LLC is exploring methods to increase the noise made by operating the Segway and to reduce its speed, major safety concerns continue to exist. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization oppose S-2024 and be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention. Sorry about that. By the American Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 5th day of July at the Adams Mark Hotel in Houston, Texas, that this organization oppose S-2024. And be it further resolved that this organization urged its affiliates to oppose state legislation permitting operation of the Segway on sidewalks. And be it further resolved that this organization direct its staff and Environmental Access Committee to initiate a dialogue with Segway LLC in an attempt to address the safety hazards inherent in the operation of the Segway. And the committee recommends a do pass. There is a motion and a second. Is there a discussion?
Point of information?
Yes.
I've been told that that Segway actually travels at 20 miles an hour maximum, not 12.
I will address that point. They have at least given assurances that they will reduce the operating speed at which the vehicle would be permitted to operate to 12, and so we changed it in the resolution. But your facts may or may not be correct, but that's what the resolution says. So that's sort of a factual statement that I can make. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. The resolution has carried. Okay, we will move along to another resolution in a moment. I will tell you about one that was withdrawn while I am digging up another one. That is 2009 which came to us by the California Council of the Blind. It was withdrawn by the author. It deals with problems with a Braille transcription manual, problems with the printing, and it was decided that it would be investigated and, if necessary, brought back next year for further action, and it was withdrawn by the author. Okay, this is number 11, and in this particular resolution, I am going to yield the chair in case I want to talk. So, I will read the resolution. It is senior services funding. Whereas 1 in 6, or an estimated 6.5 million Americans, age 55 or older, experience severe vision loss. And whereas, it is anticipated that this number will double by the year 2030 as baby boomers age and the older population of the country climbs to an estimated 78 million, or 20% of the overall population. And whereas, Title VII, Chapter 2, of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 provides a myriad of training opportunities for older individuals who have visual impairments, and whereas examples of such training include skills of daily living, travel, and adaptive communication skills, and whereas Title VII Chapter 2 funding also can provide adaptive devices, low vision services, family and peer counseling, community integration, outreach, and information and referral. And whereas under Title VII, Chapter 2, each state develops its service program to meet the needs of its older blind population, and whereas studies indicate that the total average cost for older persons to remain independent and in their homes and able to perform activities of daily living for themselves is approximately $4,800 per year, while the cost of helping an older individual stay in the community with additional supportive services or assisted living services is approximately $18,000 per year, and the cost of nursing home care is roughly $36,000 per year. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind, I got that American this time, in convention assembled this 5th day of July, 2002, at the Adams Mark Hotel in Houston, Texas, that this organization direct its officers and staff to continue to vigorously pursue increased appropriations for services to the older blind to at least the $30 million annual funding level. And be it further resolved that advocacy for more adequate funding for older blind programs be included as an agenda item for the 2003 American Council of the Blind Legislative Seminar. And be it further resolved that this organization direct its legislative staff to support a technical amendment to Title VII, Chapter 2 to include inflation adjustment language. And be it further resolved that the following represents an example of appropriate amendatory language. Quote, for any fiscal year in which the total amount appropriated under subsection H exceeds the total amount appropriated for this subsection for the previous year, the Secretary shall increase each of the minimum allotments by a percentage that shall not exceed the percentage of increase in the total amount under such subsection between the preceding fiscal year and the fiscal year for which appropriations are being made. And the committee recommends a due pass.
All right. Those in favor?
No, I have a discussion.
The
Those voting for Pat Sheehan, please be seated. And those voting for Sanders, please rise. All right. Is there discussion on the motion?
Yes, Mr. President, there is.
Okay. Jeff, go ahead.
I wish to propose an amendment to delete the last resolved clause. Not because it's... Let me add, just as a factual statement, this essentially great resolution is came to us from one of our most outstanding members, John Taylor. I would move to delete the last resolved clause because, number one, it is very specific language, and number two, I am not sure that it's the most fair language to all states, and I so move.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to delete the last resolve clause. John, are you in the room?
And let me
if you'd be anywhere else at election time.
Let me be clear that would not delete the provision requiring inflation adjustment language. It would just delete the quoted material.
John, do you have any objection to that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
The language that is in the resolution has been developed by a kind of coalition of groups interested in expanding services to older blind persons. And I think the language, my understanding is that RSA, which is the federal agency, has agreed to that language, and it's being worked over on the Hill, and I think we ought to support it. I think it is complex, but if you heard the formula, you'd know what complexity is. There is widespread agreement on this particular provision, and I prefer to leave it in the resolution.
Mr. President.
Okay. You heard a for and against. Charlie, are you speaking for or against?
While I am speaking against. While I certainly understand what people are trying to do, the language calls for an amount no greater than, or some language to that effect. It gives the opportunity to the government to say, okay, so we won't give it no greater than, we won't give it anything. And so you may not end up getting any increases at all under that language. And secondly, with regard to all these groups supporting it, I wish they'd come talk to us about it because we'd like to know about that.
Mr. President,
okay, so Charlie is speaking,
yes,
then in favor of the amendment to withdraw this language. Would someone care to speak in opposition?
Point of clarification, Mr. Chair.
All right. Michael?
This is Michael Byington, and as the committee member who assisted John in drafting this rather detailed resolution, I do want to say for accurate information to the membership that the language that we received did not come directly from the RSA. It came from NCSAV, National Association of...
National Council of State Agencies.
The Council of State Agencies for the Blind, thank you. And there are just a couple of very minor word changes that don't touch the formula that were made in what they sent us, because frankly, I think what they sent us had a typo in it because there was like an incomplete sentence. So that's the reason the language said that this was an example of language which could be used. It makes clear that the formula is the formula that allegedly has been agreed upon, but is an example of language.
So, Michael, are you do not wish to have it removed, you're saying?
I am not speaking for or against. I am making a point of clarification about facts concerning the language in the resolution.
All right. Is there anyone who wishes to speak in opposition to removing this language? Hearing none, let's move to a vote on the amendment. A vote for the amendment would remove the language. A vote against would leave the language. All in favor say aye. Opposed say nay. The ayes have it. All right. We now move back to the main resolution. And is there further discussion on that resolution?
Mr. President.
Yes. Who calls to the floor?
Joe Tolliver, Grand Rapids,
Joe.
Michigan.
Yes.
I would like to speak in favor of the resolution and wonder if a friendly amendment is in order.
What is your amendment?
Although we have voted not to we voted to delete the last clause in the therefore be it resolved section, I am wondering if we could refer that last part of the resolution to the resolutions committee, therefore develop a second resolution which may make it less complex.
Well, not this year. Not this year.
Well, then next year.
Okay, well.
But I do.
I don't want to start putting resolutions to the committee next year already because we'll have so many resolutions we won't know what to do. But
I have further comments.
All right, please proceed.
And I would wonder if we could, instead of saying at least $30 million, I would recommend the change of wording to state at a minimum of $30 million.
You may be seated. Not the speaker.
What?
Not you, Joe.
President Gray.
Jeff, what's your take on that idea? Is that a friendly amendment? Joe, can you restate your friendly amendment? You want to have the at least $30 million, say
a minimum of
$30 million. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, Jeff, can we do that?
Sounds friendly to me. Does Mr. Taylor have a problem with that? He's the.
I have no problem with that.
All right. So everybody seems happy about that. We'll accept that as a friendly amendment.
You
is there
want
further
me to be
discussion,
seated, Mr. Gray? I was seated and then I got back up, Mr. Gray.
Okay.
I'm now going to my seat. My one seat.
I stand corrected. Okay. Is there any other discussion about this resolution? Question's been called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Thank you, John, for submitting that, and thank you, Resolutions Committee. I will now turn the floor over to our secretary to call the roll. Donna Seliger.
Alabama, 10 votes.
Alabama, 10, Ralph Sanders.
10 for Sheehan. I'm sorry. What did you say? Sanders? Thank you. Alaska, 19 votes.
Alaska, 19, Sanders.
19, Sanders. Arizona, 9 votes.
Arizona, 8, Sheehan. 1 Sanders.
HN, 1 Sanders. Arkansas, 6 votes.
Arkansas, 4 Sheehan, 2 Sanders.
4 Sheehan, 2 Sanders. California, 25 votes.
California, 22 Sheehan, 3 Sanders.
22 Sheehan, 3 Sanders. Colorado, 5 votes.
Colorado, 4 votes Sheehan, 1 Sanders.
4 Sheehan, 1 Sanders. Connecticut, 1 vote.
Connecticut, 1 vote Sheehan.
1 Sheehan. D.C. Council, 3 votes.
D.C., 3 votes for Patrick Sheehan.
3 Sheehan. Florida, 25 votes.
Florida votes, 25, Patrick Sheehan.
25 Sheehan. Georgia, 11.
Georgia votes 1, Patrick, and hello, who am I voting?
You have 11 votes.
Okay.
Total.
We have what?
Okay.
Georgia votes 1 Patrick and 10 Saunders.
1 Sheehan, 10 Saunders. Hawaii, 2 votes.
2 votes, Saunders.
2 Saunders. Idaho, 1 vote. Apparently Idaho isn't here. I will not call them again. Illinois, 10 votes.
Illinois, proudly cast 6 votes Sheehan, 4 votes Saunders.
6 Sheehan, 4 Saunders. Indiana, 9 votes.
Indiana, 9 for Sheehan.
9 Sheehan. Iowa, 8 votes.
Iowa cast 8 votes for Sheehan.
8 Sheehan. Kansas, 10 votes.
Kansas cast 3 for Sheehan and 7 for Saunders.
3 Sheehan, 7 Saunders. Kentucky, 13 votes.
Kentucky, 13 Saunders.
13 Saunders. Bluegrass, 3 votes.
Bluegrass, 3 votes Saunders.
3 Saunders. Louisiana, 3 votes.
Louisiana, 2 votes Saunders, 1 Shane.
Would you repeat that, please?
Louisiana, 2 votes for Saunders, 1 for Shin.
1 Shin, 2 Saunders. Maine, 3 votes. Maine has not answered twice, so I'll not call them again. Maryland, 6 votes.
Maryland, 5.5 Sheehan, 0.5 Saunders.
5.5 Sheehan, 0.5 Saunders. Bay State, 15 votes.
Bay State, 15 votes for Patrick Sheehan.
15 Sheehan. Michigan, 8 votes.
Michigan would like to cast 8 votes for Mr. Patrick Sheehan.
8 Sheehan. Minnesota, 4 votes.
Minnesota, 4 Sheehan.
4 Sheehan. Mississippi, 11 votes.
11 Sheehan.
11 Sheehan. Missouri, 25 votes.
From the great Show Me State, where our troubles are small and our children grow tall, and where under God will always be a part of our Pledge of Allegiance. Happily cast 25 for Sheehan.
Nebraska, 2 votes.
1.5 Patrick Sheehan, half Saunders.
1.5 Sheehan, 0.5 Saunders. Nevada, 4 votes.
Nevada cast 2 votes for Sheehan and 2 for Saunders.
2 Sheehan, 2 Saunders. New Jersey, 5 votes.
5 votes for Sheehan.
5 Sheehan. New Mexico, 2 votes. Not here? Okay. New York, 11 votes.
5 Sheehan, 6 Saunders.
5 Sheehan, 6 Saunders. North Carolina, 10 votes.
10 Saunders.
10 Saunders. North Dakota, 7 votes.
5 Sheehan, 2 Saunders.
5 Sheehan, 2 Saunders. Ohio, 13 votes.
Ohio, 8 Sheehan, 5 Saunders.
8 Sheehan, 5 Saunders. Oregon, I'm sorry, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
25 votes.
Oklahoma, 25 Sheehan.
25 Sheehan. Oregon, 12 votes.
Oregon cast 12 votes for Patrick Sheehan.
12 Sheehan. Pennsylvania, 25 votes.
Pennsylvania cast 25 for Pat Sheehan.
25 Sheehan. South Carolina, 2 votes.
South Carolina, 2 votes for Sheehan.
2 Sheehan. South Dakota, 8 votes.
Not here.
Not here. Tennessee, 6 votes.
Tennessee, 2 for Sheehan, 4 for Saunders.
Washington.
2 Sheehan, 4 Saunders. Texas, 14 votes.
Texas, the home of Nolan Ryan, the greatest pitcher in the history of baseball, cast 5 votes for Patrick Sheehan and 9 for Ralph Sanders.
5 Sheehan, 9 Sanders. Utah, 25 votes.
Utah, 8.5 votes for Pat Sheehan, 16.5 votes for Ralph Sanders.
8.5 Sheehan, 16.5 Sanders. Vermont, 2 votes.
Vermont, 2 votes, Sanders.
2 Sanders. Old Dominion, 4 votes.
1 Sheehan, 3 Sanders.
1 Sheehan, 3 Sanders. Virginia, 25 votes.
25 votes, Sanders.
25 Sanders. Washington, 10 votes.
The Evergreen State votes 9 votes Sheehan, 1 vote Sanders.
9 Sheehan, 1 Sanders. Badger, 25 votes.
10 Sheehan, 15 Sanders.
10 Sheehan, 15 Sanders. Wyoming, 1 vote. Not here. Alliance on Aging, 6.
AAVL cast 6 votes for Patrick Sheehan.
6 Sheehan. Lawyers, 2.5.
Lawyers, 2.5 Sheehan.
2.5 Sheehan. Government employees.
Government employees, 2 votes, Patrick Sheehan.
2 Sheehan. Lions, 16 votes.
Lower.
Lions cast 16 for Sheehan.
16 Sheehan. Radio amateurs, 2 votes.
Radio amateurs, 2 Sheehan.
2 Sheehan. B flag, 2 votes.
B flag cast 2 votes for Pat Sheehan.
2 Sheehan. BRL, 15 votes.
BRL cast 15 votes for Patrick Sheehan.
15 Sheehan. CCLBI, 12 votes.
CCLBI cast 11 votes for Pat Sheehan, 1 for Ralph Sanders.
11 Sheehan, 1 Sanders. FIA, 4 votes.
Friends in Art, 3 for Pat Sheehan and 1 for Ralph Sanders.
3 Sheehan, 1 Sanders. Guide Dog Users, 25 votes.
Guide Dog Users, Inc. cast 25 votes for Patrick Sheehan.
25.
Yeah.
All right. Ivy, 5 votes.
4 Sheehan, 1 Sanders.
4 Sheehan, 1 Sanders. Lua, 4 votes.
Library Users, 4 votes, Sanders.
4 Sanders. Students, 5 votes.
Five Sheehan.
Teachers, 3 votes.
Teachers, 3 Sheehan.
3 Sheehan. RSVA, 25 votes.
RSVA, 25 Sanders.
25 Sanders. Data processors, 2 votes.
Thank you. Sorry. 2 votes, Sheehan.
2 Sheehan. Vets, 2 votes.
Visually impaired veterans of America cast 2 votes for Sanders.
2 Sanders. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Thank you.
Pat Sheehan, 698 votes. Ralph Sanders, 373.5. Pat Sheehan received 65.14%.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank this organization for placing its trust in me. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. I'd like to thank Ralph Sanders for a wonderful campaign, a very honest, wonderful, straightforward campaign. Thank you very much.
not had a break.
Mr.
Today.
President?
And yes, Mitch.
Point of personal privilege, Mitch Pomerantz, outgoing president of ACB Government Employees. In honor of Mr. Sheehan's victory, a government employee, we would like to make a donation to the Braille Forum from ACBG of $500 and a like donation to ACB Radio of $500.
Thank you very much, Mitch, and thank you, ACBGE, for that. Let me get your advice on something, ladies and gentlemen. We have not had a break, and I bet you want a break. On the other hand, it is 11:20. In 40 minutes, we're going to adjourn for lunch. I'm afraid if I let you go now, what do you want?
Mr. President?
Cynthia.
Just to help with the decision-making process, in order to get this room turned over in time for the banquet, we all need to be out of here by 4.
Right.
So just to let you know.
Hold on. One more what? What are you saying? No, we have two. We have two more seats to be elected. All right. We're going to keep going. Ladies and gentlemen. Let's have order, please. The fourth nominee... The fourth selection of the nominating committee is Brian Charlson. Are there any nominations from the floor? And a third and final time, are there any nominations from the floor? It's been moved that Brian Charlson be elected by acclamation. Congratulations, Brian.
Thank you, one and all. I know this doesn't sound like Brian Charlson anymore.
Boy, it sure doesn't.
but I want to thank you all for your support and guarantee to you that the next 4 years are going to be 4 years you can be proud of. Thank you very much.
For the record, ladies and gentlemen, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. All right. Now my parliamentarian's happy. We now move to the fifth and final seat. The name brought to us by the nominating committee is that of Sandy Sanderson. Are there other nominations from the floor?
Mr. President.
Who calls for the floor?
Robert Miller from Florida.
All right.
I would like to nominate Billie Jean Keith.
Okay. The name Billie Jean Keith has been placed in nomination. Are there other nominations from the floor? Other nominations twice. Other nominations a third time. Move the nomination cease. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Okay. Sandy, if you'll get to a microphone and tell us, please, who your speakers will be.
Thank you. I would like...
Let's have order, please.
Pardon me?
Go ahead, Sandy.
Oh, thank you. For my nominating speech, I would like to have Kathy Skiver from the great state of California. And for my seconding, I would like to have David Trout from Alabama.
Okay.
Thank you.
Kathy, are you at a microphone?
Good there.
getting there.
Okay, we'll wait for you.
What's his occupation, Chris?
What's that?
What's his occupation?
Oh, Ralph, Sandy, you didn't say your occupation.
Back here, Sandy. Back up, reverse. Okay, there you are.
Okay. Very simply, I'm retired.
Okay.
I'm here now.
Okay. Go ahead, Kathy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I like to know what I'm talking about when I talk. And I heard about Sandy a long time before I met him and had a chance to talk to him. And I had to get to know him, and I have, I believe, gotten to know him and some things about him. There are 10 board of directors, and voices from all different parts of the organization are heard. And I hope that you're going to put Sandy on the board so we can hear from him. He comes from Anchorage, Alaska. He was president, chairman of NELS for years, something from 1990 to this last year. He worked on the Resource Development Committee and has stepped down from there, not because of lack of interest and not because he hasn't thought of great things like ATMs in states where ACB can share money from them. But he stepped down because, I guess we could say that in Alaska, far north as they are, they're kind of under siege, and not from the Eskimos, but from another group who did things to them that those of us who have been around as long as I have know used to happen to people. They have been attacked in their office in spite of it. They've come here from Alaska. They thoroughly supported the Durward McDaniel fundraiser that we had. Sandy is someone that, when he heard I had that job, called me and just volunteered his help to me. I have found that any time I talk to him, I get an answer. Some people say he's a little rough around the edges. Well, I say, as a man so nicely said to me when I became president, he said, "We know what's out there, kid. We've been out in the street. Maybe they think we're a little tough and a little rough, but at least we know what's going on," and so does Sandy. I believe that he could continue to bring his great fundraising ideas to us. He'll speak out in behalf of people, and I think that as far up from us as Alaska is, we ought to let them know right now, when they're having the terrible time what they're having up there, that this organization is behind Sandy. And so I urge you to vote for him.
David Trott, are you in a mic?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Sandy Sanderson is a pioneer of advocacy and for blind services in the state of Alaska. When he first became involved in advocating for blindness, there were virtually no services in Alaska. Sandy has been responsible for a transportation program for the disabled, a Randolph Shepherd Vendors Act in Alaska, along with too many other things too numerous to mention. Along with achievement, though, comes adversity. Sandy is the type of guy who can take it on the chin, shake it off, and continue knocking down the barriers for the blind. When most of us has accomplished what Sandy has, we would be ready to retire and go to the beach. Not Sandy. He's here wanting to serve you. I, for one, am honored to have someone like Sandy willing to serve us in this capacity, and I urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Billie Jean, how do you wish to handle your speakers this time? You've had speakers before. What's your pleasure?
Well, if you would like to hear them again, I'll be happy to conjure that. But I think you did hear them before, so I'll be willing to stand by what they said.
Okay. So you'll relinquish your time. Very good. In that case, we are prepared to move to a vote. Will all those in favor of Sandy Sanderson please rise? And we'll take that on. Jeff, how about another resolution?
Mr. President.
Who calls for the floor?
Hattie Vaughn from Tennessee Council of the Blind.
Yes, Hattie.
We would like to make a small donation to the ACB of $300. As you know, for the
last few days, the Tennessee government, Tennessee has been shut down because the legislature couldn't agree on a budget. But we did find $300 for ACB.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, this is 2002-5, and this comes to us from a Texan. Ms. Blackburn of Texas. Video Describe Programs, Resolution 2002-5. Whereas the availability of video described television programming is increasing, and that trend is likely to continue. Yeah. And whereas the availability of such programming creates the need for information accessible to blind and visually impaired consumers concerning the scheduling of such programming. And whereas Lifetime Television has created a page on its website on which upcoming voice-described programs are listed. Now, therefore, be it resolved... Video described. Hang on, we're doing a badge thing here. Okay. Now, therefore, be it resolved. Sorry about that. That the American Council of the Blind and Convention assembled this 5th day of July at the Adams Mark Hotel in Houston, Texas. That this organization commend Lifetime Television for making information available on its website pertaining to its upcoming video described programming. And be it further resolved that this organization urge all networks providing video described programming to take steps to make scheduling information about such programming available in formats accessible to consumers with visual impairments. And the committee recommends a do pass. There is a motion and a second. Is there discussion? There is discussion. Get to a mic.
There you go.
Can I get the badge on?
Okay, guys, it takes a while to count anyway. This is Charlie Crawford, and I'd just like to add a friendly amendment to that. If there could be a, and further be it resolved that the Executive Board of ACB may send appropriate letters of congratulations to those networks and stations that have excelled with descriptive video. Because we really, you know, CBS has done a great thing too. Not as good as Fox, but a great thing. And I think the other ones are coming along, so we want to make sure that we give people credit where they deserve it.
I don't see a problem with that amendment. We have a second, and I don't see a problem with that. That is a friendly amendment. It will be entertained for addition to the resolution. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The motion, the resolution has been adopted. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that was on the amendment. We now have to, no, we don't have to vote. We did not have to vote on the amendment because it was a friendly amendment. So that vote was on the resolution. And we now go on to opening up yet another one. Okay, this comes to us from CCLVI. It is Resolution 2012, and it is Vehicles, Lack of Noise. Whereas motor vehicles with silent or near-silent propulsion systems are becoming increasingly popular, and whereas blind and visually impaired pedestrians receive essential safety information from the sounds of vehicles, and whereas non-disabled pedestrians who are momentarily distracted or inattentive are also alerted by traffic sounds, and whereas pavement surfaces can be constructed with rumble strips or similar technology which cause otherwise quiet traffic to emit sounds when moving, now therefore be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind and Convention assembled this 5th day of July at the Adams Mark Hotel in Houston, Texas. There, we got through it that time. That this organization direct its staff to request the assistance of the Institute of Traffic Engineers to convene a meeting of leaders of the automobile industry and federal, state, and local highway planning entities to initiate research to identify vehicle and road surface features which can generate audible aspects to the movement of traffic. And the committee recommends a do pass. There is a motion and a second.
Mr. Chair.
Is there discussion?
Yes. Mr. Chair, this is Ken Stewart.
Wait a minute. I'm going to recognize Ken Stewart first only because, and then Charlie, you're next. Ken was the one of the authors of the resolution, I believe.
Those voting for Sanderson may sit down. And those voting for Keith, please rise.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, who are you addressing?
Yes. This is Ken Stewart.
Yes.
First, a slight correction. I personally authored the resolution. This was not from my organization, CCLBI.
Okay. I apologize.
And a piece of encouraging information, subsequent to formulating this motion, I did have an opportunity to speak personally and informally with the president of the ITE, which is a very powerful professional organization of traffic engineers, and he offered to personally assist us in moving forward on this issue, which I was very gratified by.
Mr. Hodge, I believe you were seeking the floor?
No, I'm better looking.
Okay, who seeks the floor?
This is Ron Hepler with the Virginia Association of the Blind.
Okay, well, you got the right area anyway.
I was one of the guys, the engineers. Rumble strips are something that is not really encouraged because of the low speeds right at intersections and things of that nature. They don't make the sound necessary to on an intersection because of traffic and things of that nature. And also, rumble strips have been used nationwide for a particular purpose in reducing speeds and things of that nature. And they also cause some drainage enhancement problems and things of that. So rumble strips, if that language could be taken out, it would be more acceptable to my liking. I don't know if that's friendly or not, but rumble strips are a problem, and they're used for a different purpose other than what he's intending there.
Mr. Chair, may I respond?
Yes.
I welcome the friendly amendment. We're only attempting to offer examples so that people don't say, you can't do anything about it. The point is, there are ways, and the research should be conducted to seek ways to make traffic noisier.
You will entertain that as a friendly amendment?
I welcome it.
Okay. That amendment shall be incorporated into the resolution. Is there any further discussion? Hearing? Well, yes.
Chairman, thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, this is Barbara Rhodes from San Jose, California. I think it's really important, especially for persons with people riding bicycles, using wheelchairs, and the Segways, all being very, very quiet, that there be some kind of way that sound would be emitted either from their devices or from rumble strips or whatever else you want to call it to make it safe so that we can hear what's around us. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm for it.
We've heard individuals for it. Is there anyone in opposition? Hearing none. All those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Okay, the resolution has been adopted. Okay, we will do one more. And this will be number 17. And this is from that very quiet affiliate, the RSVA. Vending facilities, active participation. Whereas the active participation of Randolph Shepherd vendors in the governance of their state programs is essential to assure that the concerns of vendors are acknowledged and addressed. And whereas a number of organizations representing blind and visually impaired vendors have urged the Rehabilitation Services Administration to revise its definition of, quote, active participation with respect to program administration by elected committees of blind vendors. And whereas, although more than 8 months have elapsed, the Rehabilitation Services Administration has not yet adopted this definition, now therefore be it resolved, by the American Council of the Blind Convention assembled this 5th day of July at the Adams Mark Hotel in Houston, Texas, that this organization joins with its affiliate, the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America, in calling upon the Rehabilitation Services Administration to issue the much-anticipated policy directive on, quote, active participation, unquote, without further delay, and to ensure that all state licensing agencies and elected committees of blind vendors promptly incorporate the clarified definition of, quote, active participation, quote, unquote, into their policies, rules, and procedures. And the committee recommends it do pass.
You may be seated.
We need a motion. We had a second before the motion. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
Okay.
Thank you, RSVA. The resolution is adopted.
Thank you, Jeff. We'll now turn the floor over to Donna Seliger to call the roll.
Alabama, 10 votes.
Alabama, 10 for Sandy.
Ken Sanderson.
I bet you can't guess how Alaska's going to vote.
Alaska, 19 votes.
19, Sandy.
19, Sanderson. Arizona, 9 votes.
Arizona, 3, Keith. 6, Sanderson.
Arizona, 3, Keith. And 6, Sanderson. Arkansas, 6 votes.
Arkansas, 5, Keith. 1, Sanderson.
1, Sanderson. 5, Keith. California, 25 votes.
California, 22, Sanderson, 3, Keith.
22, Sanderson, 3, Keith. Colorado, 5 votes.
Colorado, 1 half, Sanderson, 4 and 1 half, Keith.
1 half, Sanderson, 4 and 1 half, Keith. Connecticut, 1 vote.
Connecticut, 1 vote, Keith.
1, Keith. D.C. Council, 3 votes. D.C. Council?
I'm coming.
I'm sorry, I had to find a mic. D.C. Council of the Blind votes 1 half Sanderson and 2 1/2 Keith.
1 half Sanderson, 2 1/2 Keith. Florida, 25 votes.
Florida votes 23.5 Keith, 1 1/2 Sanderson.
1 1/2 Sanderson, 23.5 Keith. Georgia, 11 votes.
Georgia votes 9 Sanderson and 2 Keith.
9 Sanderson, 2 Keith. Hawaii, 2 votes.
True. There we go. 2 votes for Sanderson.
2 Sanderson. Illinois, 10 votes.
Illinois, probably cast 1 vote. Sanderson, 9 Keith.
1 Sanderson, 9 Keith. Indiana, 9 votes.
Indiana, 5 Sanderson, 4 Keith.
5 Sanderson, 4 Keith. Iowa, 8 votes.
Iowa cast 8 votes for Sanderson.
8 Sanderson. Kansas, 10.
Kansas, 5 for Sanderson and 5 for Keith.
5 Sanderson, 5 Keith. Kentucky, 13 votes.
Kentucky, 13 Sanderson.
13 Sanderson. Bluegrass, 3 votes.
Bluegrass, 3 votes Sanderson.
3 Sanderson. Louisiana, 3 votes.
Louisiana, 2.5 Billie Jean, 0.5 Sanderson.
0.5 Sanderson, 2.5 Keith. Maryland, 6 votes.
Maryland, 1.5 Sanderson, 4.5 Keith.
1.5 Sanderson, 4.5 Keith. Bay State.
Bay State, 1/2 Sanderson, 14.5 Keith.
0.5 Sanderson, 14.5 Keith. Michigan, 8 votes.
Michigan would like to cast 6.5 votes for Sanderson, 1.5 for Keith.
6.5 Sanderson, 1.5 Keith. Minnesota, 4 votes.
Minnesota, 3 Keith, 1 Sanderson.
1 Sanderson, 3 Keith. Mississippi, 11 votes.
Mississippi, 11 for Keith.
11 Keith. Missouri, 25.
Missouri, home of one of the greatest sports announcers that ever lived in Jack Buck.
Sorry. That's
25 Sanderson.
25 Sanderson.
Go Carl!
Nebraska, 2 votes.
Nebraska, we're undivided this time. We vote 2 votes, Keith.
2 Keith. Nevada, 4 votes.
Nevada votes 4 votes for Keith.
4 Keith. New Jersey, 5 votes.
New Jersey casts 5 votes for Keith.
5 Keith. New York, 11 votes.
6 Keith, 5 Sanderson.
5 Sanderson, 6 Keith. North Carolina.
10 Sandy.
10 Sanderson. North Dakota, 7 votes.
From the original state of birth for Sandy Sanderson, we cast all 7 votes.
7 Sandersons. Ohio, 13 votes.
Ohio, 8 Sandy, 5 Billie Jean.
8 Sanderson, 5 Keith. Oklahoma, 25 votes.
Oklahoma, 4 Sanderson, 21 Keith.
4 Sanderson, 21 Keith. Oregon, 12 votes.
Oregon casts 6 votes for Billie Jean and 6 votes for Sandy.
6 Sanderson, 6 Keith. Pennsylvania, 25 votes.
Pennsylvania, 25 votes for Keith.
25 Keith. I'm next. South Carolina, 2 votes.
2 votes, Keith.
2 Keith. Tennessee, 6 votes.
Tennessee, 2 Sanderson, 4 Keith.
2 Sanderson, 4 Keith. Texas, 14 votes.
Texas, the home of the Armadillo and Shiner Bock beer, casts 7 for Sandy Sanderson and 7 for Billie Jean Keith.
7 Sanderson, 7 Keith. Utah, 25 votes.
Utah, Billie Jean Keith, 16.5 votes. Sandy Sanderson, 8.5 votes.
Sanderson, 8.5. Keith, 16.5. Vermont, 2 votes.
Vermont, the home of Ben and Jerry's. 2 votes, Keith.
Old Dominion, 4 votes.
Old Dominion, 3 Sanderson, 1 Keith.
3 Sanderson, 1 Keith. Virginia, 25 votes.
Virginia Association of Blind, 25 Sanders.
25 Sanderson. Washington, 10.
Washington, the state that didn't invent rain, we just have it. 3.5 Sanderson, 6.5 Keith.
3.5 Sanderson, 6.5 Keith. Badger, 25 votes.
15 Sanderson, 10 Keith.
15 Sanderson, 10 Keith. Alliance on Aging, 6.
AAVL cast 6 votes for Billie Jean Keith.
Alliance on Aging, 6 votes for Keith.
6 Keith. Whoop. Lawyers, 2.5.
Lawyers, 2.5 Keith.
2.5 Keith. Government employees, 2 votes.
2 votes, Keith.
2 Keith. Lions, 16.
Lions cast 16 for Keith.
16 Keith.
Radio Amateurs, 2 votes.
Radio Amateurs, 2, Keith.
2, Keith. B Flag, 2 votes.
B Flag, 2 for Keith.
2 Keiths. BRL, 15 votes.
BRL votes 10 for Sanders, 5 for Keith.
10 Sanderson, 5 Keith. CCLVI, 12 votes.
CCLVI cast 1 vote for Sanderson and 11 for Billie Jean Keith.
1 Sanderson, 11 Keith. FIA, 4 votes.
Friends in Art, 4 votes, Billie Jean Keith.
4 Keith. Guide Dog Users, 25 votes.
Guide Dog Users cast 24 votes for Billie Jean Keith and 1 for Sanderson.
Ivy, 5 votes.
4 votes Keith, 1 vote Sanderson.
1 Sanderson, 4 Keith. Lua, 4 votes.
Lua, 4 votes Sanderson.
4 Sanderson. Students, 5 votes.
1 vote Sanderson, 4 votes Keith.
1 Sanderson, 4 Keith. Teachers, 3 votes.
Teachers, 3 votes Keith.
3 Keith. RSVA, 25 votes.
RSVA, 23 Keith, 2 Sanderson.
23 Keith, 2 Sanderson. Data processors, 2 votes.
1 Keith, 1 Sanderson.
1 Keith, 1 Sanderson. Vets, 2 votes.
Visually Impaired Veterans of America, 1 Keith, 1 Sanders.
Saunders. 1 Sanderson, 1 Keith. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll wait a moment, please, for Jim Olson to get the number to us.
The vote for Sandy Sanderson, 466.5. For Billie Jean Keith, 592. The percentage for Billie Jean is 55.93%.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Can I say something?
You may.
This may be the last words for today, but all I can say is 2 horse races in 1 morning is about to kill some of us. Thank you, Sandy, for running a wonderful race, and I do intend to work for everybody, not just people who support me. So thank you all very much.
I'd like to congratulate you on your achievements there, and I know that you're going to go on and do bigger and better and greater things for all of us AC Bears. Congratulations, all of you, for having a wonderful convention, and you've selected some really good people. Let's all work with them now.
Thank you very much, Sandy.
Mr. President.
Yes.
Ralph Sanders?
Yes, I recognize.
I want to take this opportunity to congratulate Pat Sheehan. I want to thank the people who supported me, particularly my speakers, Dan Martinez and Dr. Lewis, and all those of you who voted for me. To all of those who voted for me and those all of you who voted against me, I have a challenge to offer. The work of the ACB is much. The need of the blind of the nation is more. I challenge you to match me in the effort on behalf of serving those people in the year to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ralph. Appreciate that. We have time for a couple, maybe one or two more resolutions, but I'd like, first of all, to recognize Doc Bradley for a door prize.
Thank you.
have a certificate for a portable CD player with headphones donated by BFLAG. Contact their treasurer about Sandy Edwards, North Little Rock, Arkansas.
Sandy, are you here?
I see her.
She is here.
I hadn't got anybody.
How about one more?
We have a certificate for a talking pedometer donated by BFLAG. Contact the secretary and arrange for this prize. From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Mike Gravett.
Mike, are you here?
Hope he doesn't get to grab it.
Same prize from Huntsville, Texas, Dale Keith. Dale, are you around? From Richland, West WA, Washington, Mardale Kendall.
I think she's there. While you guys have the microphone down there, may I have order, please? Thanks very much. While you have the mic down there, I'd like to just do something for a moment. You know, it is true that we all do the work we do in ACB because we care so much about the organization. I wouldn't be up here if I didn't care. And boy, by this time of the week, you can feel a little burned out, you know? But here we are. We don't give up. We still move forward. I would like to recognize for a moment Dr. Ed Bradley for a couple of comments.
You talking about the membership?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I know all of you here feel great about ACB as I do. The American Council of the Blind has meant one heck of a lot to me for a number of years. One of the ways that we should and could and need to show our love and appreciation to this great organization is by our support. And that support can come in a lot of ways. But one way that we can do it and be a very easy way to do that is by contributing on a regular monthly basis to this organization. Now, this is not a mandatory thing. This should come from your heart. If you feel as strongly about ACB as I do and many others, then you will do this. We have forms. Jim, you have those copies? Okay. We will have copies of the form to fill out so that you can make a monthly contribution to ACB. Please take the time and opportunity before you leave this convention to fill out one of these forms. I will have them with Jim, get them to me, or they will be up front. Volunteers will help you fill them out if you need help. But take that time to show the love for ACB and do this. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Mr. President, we
talked about this at the mid-year meeting. And there was a lot of excitement, a lot of real desire on the part of ACB presidents and the ACB members who came to take forms. But you know how it is, folks. You get a piece of paper and you get home and then you got to find a reader and everything. And there was over 300 forms taken, but I can guarantee you there were not 300 forms that came back to us. We recognize the problem about getting things filled out, and so we have these forms here today. We will have volunteers who can help you fill them out and turn them in today. Ed, do you know where people are going to be when we break up here at noon and when we start coming back into session at 1:30? Will they be here by the head table? Will there be a table in the back of the room? What can... Okay. Ed says that if you want to fill one of these forms out, if you will come to the front of the room and you'll find volunteers, and Ed will be there and others will be there. And they'll set you up with a volunteer. You can fill out a form if you like. Okay?
Mr. President?
Now, who is the lady who called for the floor?
Deanna Noriega of BRL.
Yes, Deanna.
I just want to respectfully bring it to the attention of the Convention Program Committee that last year we passed a resolution, Resolution 2001-03, that to direct the American Council of the Blind ACB 2002 Convention Program include a general session program item addressing the issue of Braille unification. And I'm sure through no fault of anyone that it was just left out. And I would really respectfully request that it be considered for next year.
Okay.
I don't think it needs a resolution. I just wanted to bring it to their attention.
All right. Thank you very much, Deanna. We will take that to... take that up in the Convention Program Committee for next year. All right. It's about 2 minutes to 12, 3 minutes to 12. We want to come back here at 1:30, and I do mean 1:30 sharp, to get going. Because I really want, and I think you all want, to get our business done today. We have resolutions, we have a treasurer's report, we have a number of things that need to be done. So let's be back here at 1:30, and I now declare this meeting to be in recess.
President Chris Gray putting this meeting in recess. We will be coming back to you at 1:30 sharp, as he says, to continue proceedings from the convention today. A reminder also that we will be broadcasting the banquet entertainment this evening. We anticipate that beginning sometime after 8, but it's difficult to know when. It just depends on how quickly people eat, I suppose. So you just have to stay tuned to ACB Radio Mainstream this evening, and we will cut off our archived programming and then resume with live programming as soon as we can. Remember that when that happens, the stream does go dead for a wee while we turn the archive off and put the live material back on again. So don't panic about that. Just keep trying to reconnect, hitting play in your player of choice. We will loop some of the material from this morning again over the lunch interval, which we will do in a couple of minutes, so reconnect for that. And join us again for live programming at about 1:30 Central, that's 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific, and 18:30 Universal Time. So for now, good afternoon from Houston.